All right, welcome back to the Night Cafe. This is a show I'm obsessed with what people are obsessed with. I love finding out about the things that make people who they are.
Bam, 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 bam. DJ Camzola. I'm back.
That was my new drop.
Hey.
I'm going to play that every time. No, that was my guest today, Daniel Owen.
Hey.
Actor extraordinaire, comic.
Hey, world. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. So, me and Dan have known each other a long time, and today he's going to tell me about some of the things that he thinks shaped him.
You don't want to know about that. No, no, no.
I invited you on the show specifically to find out about
what?
That.
What? About so, me?
Yeah, about you. You're an interesting guy, and I know you are. We've known each other long enough where I know you're...
No. Thank you.
You're an interesting person.
Thank you, I appreciate
one of
that.
The earliest people I wanted on this show.
I am... so happy I got to be part of the experience. Obviously, we're in it to win it. We got a long way to go. So
yeah, no, we have. You've prepared a list of five things for me. We'll use them as always, jumping off topics. Or it's always best to get right into it. Like all
right
the preamble
away,
is always a waste
let's,
of time.
Let's jump right in. The pool's cold. And
did
I
you? Well, first, did
didn't
you
wear a bathing suit?
Did you rank them? I've had a couple people come in.
No, I did not rank anything.
Okay,
I'll tell you what I did. I gave a lot of thought to this afternoon, and there were three of which I was extremely confident and was well aware of some of the biggest influences and positive forces that have come upon in my lifetime so far. 25 years, by the way. I just turned 25 the other day, so we're feeling...
Yeah, absolutely. That's
we're feeling,
a,
you know,
that's
we're
milestone.
Feeling pretty good. Yeah, so...
All right, so we won't call it your number five thing, but what is the first topic that you've... decided?
Well, I'd probably say my number one influence, my biggest thing that I'm...
Number one.
No, probably number one, because it's made me who I am, without a doubt, is my family. And call it cliche or not, but I know a lot of my friends have, any of their immediate family, first cousin, second, all the way to people you've never met before, live all over the country, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't get to spend Christmas and all the other holidays with each other or a brunch on a Saturday afternoon. And as funny as it sounds, I have some of my most immediate family right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I grew up going to tons of family events where I, you know, at each party is 15, 16, 20 people. And I'm very blessed that I have that sort of community surrounding me as growing up. So
that's awesome. That's a perfect... So family is the first thing. Just to try to specify, do you have family members that you've, like, clicked with the most? Like,
for sure. So, funny story about my family. Now, I'm going to say it twice so you know I don't make a mistake here and you fully understand what I'm saying. So my dad and my uncle Kevin. So, mm-hmm. My dad's the oldest and Kevin is right behind him.
Yeah.
So, they're brothers and my mom and my Aunt Wendy... who Kevin and Wendy are married, Wendy and Kathy are sisters. So basically, two brothers, or not basically, this is what it is, two brothers married two sisters.
Nice.
And
okay.
It was just, that's just the way the dice roll, you know?
So you're going to be close.
Snake eyes for
like,
you.
Like, there's really no way of avoiding
right,
those.
Right,
those
so
families.
We're basically as close as you get without being from some far-off town in the deep south where it's considered okay, so...
Yeah, you're not the only person I know who that's happened. I know a group of people who they were married, and then that guy's father married her mother.
Later, and then her sister.
Later on in life. So they were technically siblings, but they were married first.
Oh, okay.
So like,
so they are weird. That is... oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. And
yeah, no.
My, you
so,
want
but, that's interesting. So you guys, did you grow up like side by side, basically? Like it was one.
Oh
it was
yeah.
More.
We basically pissed in the same diaper, Paul
yeah,
and I.
So like your cousins were more like your siblings than anything.
Yeah.
Else.
So they have three kids: Catherine, Mark, and Paul. Catherine, she's the oldest of our group, which isn't even old. You know, she's in her. Just in her early 30s, and she's over in Dubai. She's crushing it.
Wow!
She just got married. This guy Dan Irish. He's the man. He's got. They got
Dan
all,
Irish. That
Dan
sounds
Irish.
So
Dan,
made up.
Dude,
it's ridiculous.
Dan, I know. He's a real bloke. He's He's an Englishman. Actually, him and his mom, Liz, I hope they're going to listen to them.
He's English and his last name's Irish. Yeah. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's a big football fan, soccer. Great guy. And Catherine has always been the leader of the pack. She's a party animal. She knows no matter who she meets, who she talks to, she's going to be your best friend. She's going to get you engaged and be... She's so loving, so caring, and that's a trait that runs through the whole family. And Mark's the middle child. I tell you what, when he's in the room with you and he starts laughing, there's no way you don't laugh, because he just has this laugh that's just contagious, and he has these little mannerisms, and he's always trying to have a good time. And Paul, the youngest, a little brat of the family, who I'm probably closest to in my entire family that I've. That I have, has always been my, my role model, along with my brother and my dad. But Paul is, we played the same sports. We were interested in the same things. He was always one step ahead of me.
Did you go to the same high school?
We did, but I actually transferred. So he went to St. Anthony's High School, Catholic High School in Long Island. And I went there my first few years while he was there as well, and then I ended up transferring. So yes, we did go together, but being from Huntington, we still we were around everyone from Huntington all the time. So
yeah, I've had friends for a long time now that are twin brothers, and I've always wondered about their relationship. I just, when that was the first thing I thought of, was like, if you guys were raised so closely, if going to school together would be like another big, because those two guys, they have the same friends for the most part. Yeah. Like they went to the same college.
Are you kidding me? I did Paul a favor. Paul became best friends with all my friends. The only reason Paul became relevant and popular is because of me.
So, yeah, so you guys...
Just kidding, Paul.
But you guys did run in the same circle. So it was like, I've always wondered
And he might have run a little faster than everyone else, too. He's quite the athlete, so still is.
I'm interested in people that have known each other that closely for that level of time.
Well, which would bring me to my second...
second pick already?
Well, I mean, I'm more than welcome to keep going. It's kind of has a co-connected 1A, 1B.
Just going back to family.
Stick with it. I'm in no rush to get to it.
Do you have a big family? Do you come from, is it a lot of people that you see?
Oh, yeah. So I'm one of five, unless there's another one I don't know about.
I never knew that before. You have four siblings?
No, I'm one of five, as in my entire family. So my dad, mom, and then I have two siblings.
Okay.
I have a younger sister, Monica, who is actually starring right now in Comedy of Errors on the Heart stage up in Hartford College. She's so extremely talented. She's going to be on Broadway. I have an internal competition that with her, because she's so good, mm-hmm. and she's just crushing it at school, that I keep looking back over my tail, and I'm saying, Dan, you better get to work, because Monica's going to be all over the Vogue magazines and all these big Hollywood things soon enough. So we're both kind of chasing that, that same dream. But she's fantastic, and even though she can always get on my nerves, she...
That's little sisters. I have one of those, too. That's little sisters. They're annoying.
I just went and saw her... last week I went up to Hartford, took the Greyhound bus, or the Peter Pan bus.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
classic.
No, please. Oh yeah, Peter Pan got us there. I'm one of the lost boys. He took me home. Anyway.
Oh man.
Hey, Peter.
So you're up in Hartford.
Went to Hartford, and she has a brand new apartment, which was really nice, and ended up seeing her show, Comedy of Errors, and it was fantastic. They had a whole cast party. I got to hang out, meet a bunch of people.
That's cool.
Very impressive. Yeah, it was really, really good. It's funny because I also saw, and I feel obligated to say this, I saw Aladdin on Broadway not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was extremely disappointed. I was extremely disappointed with their work, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but I know the level of work that Broadway can bring,
uh-huh.
and being a Disney play, although I might have had an expectation going into it, the vibe that I got was the actors said, we're aware this is a Disney play, we're aware it's a Disney play, we're going to just forget about believing in our given circumstances and our story that we've been given that we're to play. And they just accepted the fact that they were actors doing this. And everyone was looking in on themselves. Everyone just said, like, I'm Aladdin, this is a magic carpet, and I'm ready to... And this is what it is. Accept it for what it is.
Uh-huh.
But the one thing I will say... And it's not to say there wasn't good, you know, scores and singing and so on and so forth. I had a lot of, you know, disagreements or problems with what I my own opinions, which I'm entitled to. And that's not to say anyone's able to say whatever they want. You know, I have no problems with it. But the guy who played the genie was... in another stratosphere. He was another stratosphere of performance. He was incredible. And that, seeing that kind of work, he won a Tony Award a year or two ago, I believe. And after his first, you know, you ain't never had a friend, never had a friend, you ain't never, no, never, ever a friend like me.
That's super interesting, because you could argue the same about the movie. That Robin Williams blows everybody away as the genie. Maybe the genie is just such a good part that no other one of those parts can, like, hold up to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was so good. And after his first, the first scene that he was in, the main scene when he got let, when he gets let out of the lamp, I was like, that's why he won a Tony Award. I was like, I don't need to see any more of the
he
play.
Stole
I was
that
like,
one
it was,
number.
It wasn't even close. He was on another. It was he was in another world than everyone else on stage. And then, as happy as it made me, and how appreciative of that work I was, I said, "This isn't right because all these other actors. That's frustrating as a performer. That's frustrating to watch.
It's frustrating that he blew everybody else out of the water like that.
No, it's frustrating that." Everyone else is just accepts a level of work. Everyone accepts a level that they don't need to adhere to what
it's that, frustrating that they're is. Not all working to get to his level.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there wasn't a cohesion. There wasn't this bond between the cast. Everyone seemed all for one and one for me, and we're all just here to do one individual part as opposed to being an entire cast. There's a certain energy you get. Like when I saw Comedy of Errors in Hartford. They were the energy. What was happening was from the very first beat, they were all in sync, and I just didn't get that from Disney. And you know, maybe it's because
it's
you
like
know
a
for children. And I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what, there were a bunch of children in the audience who were couldn't pay attention.
Well, they hate it. I've never understood Broadway for kids. They don't
kids love the movie.
Well, they love the movie because it's short, it's easy. They're in like to put a kid in nice clothes, bring them to a Broadway theater, pay $100 and some odd for them to see a show. I've never understood the Broadway. Actually, Ryan Dever, our mutual friend, has an amazing stand-up joke about movies being turned into plays. He's like, "Have you ever heard?"
I don't think I've heard it.
Oh, he has someone walking out of a movie. He's like, "Have you ever heard someone turn to his friend and be like, you know, that was great, but I wish we paid $200 to see it." And the other guy is like, "Yeah, you know, it was good, but I just wish it was more long and boring, and all the sets were made of paper." Like it's like I don't quite understand the. Like, Lion King was a huge hit, I guess, so they have to try all of them?
Well, it's funny, because I got tickets, my mom, in a little Macy's box for Christmas. I opened it up, and there's a, you know, a piece of printer paper on it, you know, a design made over Microsoft Word. Yeah, exactly, just like on your fridge right here, saying, like, you're going to see the Lion King on blah, blah, blah. And I think I saw it when I was very young, and I don't remember it. Thing about it, I probably didn't even see it. It's just one of those. It's one of those things that, like, oh, when I was a kid, I saw The Lion King on Broadway. When it's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's just you've been brain. It's just like the Inception that everyone thinks they've seen it because they're so obsessed with the movie.
Yeah. When I was in fifth grade, it was a tradition that the fifth grade class would go see a Broadway play, and the ones before us all got shit. Like it was like Lion King, Little Mermaid, whatever the equivalent in 2004 was. And then they took my year to see friggin' Fiddler on the Roof. Is there anything that 10-year-olds would care less about?
Fiddler?
The way they tried to sell it was friggin' Rich Girl by Gwen Stefani was the number one song at the time, which is samples the song from Fiddler. So they're like, it's like the song from the radio. Right. We're gonna go see three Jews get married. Like
unreal.
By intermission, every 10-year-old was like, that was it, right? We're done.
Right.
And then they're like,
oh, no,
there's another hour and a half.
Oh, no, we're just getting started.
There's still two Jews that need to get married. Like, you've only seen one Jewish wedding. You're in for two more, friend. Like, the poor 10-year-old that got subjected to Fiddler on the friggin' Roof. Have you seen Oh Hello?
No, but that I've been...
It just closed.
No way! Yeah. Thank you for bringing me this disappointment on the podcast.
I'm so sorry, but it was so good. They're going to release it as like a Netflix special, sure, probably. It was... They broke.
I can't believe it just ended.
They broke the fourth wall constantly. They had a new guest night.
Sure.
We could talk about plays we've both seen. You saw This Is Our Youth, right?
I did see This Is Our Youth, yes.
Did you like it?
Honestly, that was one of the first plays that I had the opportunity of seeing when I was in conservatory.
That I remember, because I saw it and said that I thought you could have played one of the parts.
Yeah.
And was like...
Culkin's
Kieran part. Culkin's
Kieran
part.
Culkin's
yeah,
part.
It's a play about Kieran Culkin and Michael Cera having a conversation in their apartment in the late 1980s about drugs.
Well, I told you, too, is that I had, you know, two classmates sitting next to me, and at separate times during the show... You know, I said, you could totally do this. You could just totally you. I was like,
yeah, but
I'm flattered to hear that. But obviously, as a competitor and someone who's wants to do this as a career, I said, fucking right, I can. I was like, I'm not, like, of course I stack myself up when I'm looking at someone, which is so important about in any career. It doesn't matter if you're striving to be an actor or if you want to be, you know, an engineer or an electrician, any plot, you strive to be your absolute best. You strive to have some sort of different quality to you that's making you more appealing to others. Why is someone going to hire you? Because there is something special about you that you're good at, as opposed to, I mean, which is obviously to get the job done, whatever you're doing is most important, but there's a certain humility and certain character that comes with every person, and that there's a certain energy and vibe that anyone's attracted to. And I personally feel that having, you know, that sort of mentality to where, of course I want to get this job. Of course I can see myself in this role. Mm-hmm. I'm capable of doing it, you know. I would never say, no, I don't think I'm good enough.
Well, no, of course not. No, absolutely.
You know, like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah.
You're not looking too far ahead then.
No.
That's it, you know. You got your texting like on the sidewalk walking in New York City and someone's going to bump into you. Which, yeah, by the way, somehow just keeps happening. It's funny. I'm like 20 yards away from someone. I'm like, hey, I see you. You're looking down. Here I come. And no. And I don't intentionally try and bump into them. I'm just going to keep my path and see if they look up. And 15 seconds go by, and they don't even look up. And you're saying, and I'm going to, I should move. I should watch out for you. Because I'm a nice person. Because that's that's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. And then if you don't, people they don't even apologize. It's amazing.
People are absolutely wild. Just getting back to, we'll wrap up family here.
Wrap it up as your first thing.
Family is such a big thing. I mean, everybody's family is probably their biggest influence on them in some way, just because of how much time you spend with them. I don't know how to. Do you want a family? Do you want to, in the future, do you think you're going to be, like, a kids person?
It's a good question.
I mean, it's a big question, and no matter what you say, you can change it.
No.
This isn't long, but...
Kids? Nah. Nah, too much.
Because I don't think... I never imagined myself with children.
Well, the thing is, I think my mom and dad, you know, amidst all the chaos that happened in our family, and still does, I'm so blessed and fortunate to have come in such a loving and caring household, to where I was held to, you know, a standard. Both my parents were extremely hard, and though, you know, they both would be in the upper, they would be considered upper class in our today's society. Like, I know how hard they work, and it's, you know, you look up to that kind of thing. And I've definitely modeled the way I want to be, whether I have kids or any of my friends, and that's something I care about. And I could definitely see myself with a family someday. I'm thinking about it now, but,
yeah,
you know, where am I going to be in 10 years? I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I have no idea.
That's always the preface to that, is I always say things like, I don't imagine myself with children, but I, next year could be fucking different. Right. I've always said, though, that if I thought I knew, I would get married tomorrow. Like, I want a wife so badly. Like, I love the idea of having a wife so much.
I don't know, Anthony. You might have to clean up your apartment a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no. When I want to wipe so she
don't even say she's going to clean it up for you, because you're looking in the wrong room if you think she's going to clean it up for you.
No, I want someone to be messy with me. No.
There you go. That's the right response. Is right.
No, I. But
she's going to be messier than you are, and you're going to get mad about it.
Oh, dude. That is exactly what's going to happen to me. And that same person is going to fucking want animals all over the place, because that's the last thing.
Three cats, four dogs.
Dude.
I want a gerbil. Oh, gerbils, yeah.
You're describing my nightmare.
Give me like a fucking parrot.
Oh my god. No, but I do. I just don't like dating. I've always thought that, like, if I, for whatever reason, am suddenly sure about, like, this person is the best I'm, like, that sounds shitty. Not the best I'm gonna get, but, like, I'm clearly, like, I've reached a peak right now.
Right.
And if I realize it, oh, dude, I'm getting married so quick.
Hey, man, the lucky lady's out there somewhere.
In 40 years when I've had 7 wives, I mean, we can play this clip back yeah. and be like...
Yeah, Prince Abu over here has 7 wives, and you got a giant mansion. And
oh, my God, if I have 7 wives, I'm going to have no money. There's no way Paul McCartney myself into having enough money to manage that many wives.
Yeah, well, you got some talent. You'll see.
Yeah. No, I love that family was the first thing you wanted to talk about, because it shows... Family is the thing where, like, every single time in my life where I've had a difficult situation, it means you have to turn to family. They're the people that are there. They didn't have a choice to be there in the first place, which means that they're there when shit gets bad, and it's...
But what makes it stand out, then, is saying that... There are so many people who, you said, family, it's there. It's somebody, you know, there are so many people who it's not there.
Mm-hmm. So not, which is sad.
It's not there. I mean, people with, you know, parents who are alcoholics or drug addicts and or no one who's there for them. You know, anyone who's coming from a really tough background, which is mm-hmm. all over the world, but let alone our own friends and our own community. And I know some people who, you know, they act like it's just, you know, they're just brushing dust under the rug, and they're so confident and they're so strong. And I don't know if I would be that same person. I don't know if I could do that, because I came up in such a, a fortunate, family. So I was provided for. I was able to have education. I was able to, you know, play soccer and intramural sports. I was able, you know, I could do all these things that every kid wants to do. And from someone who's been arrested to someone who's, broken a bone playing sports, any of these kinds of things. I've had my family to be there for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to money. And money is such a, especially in today's day and world, and money talks. And
always going to be important. But the idea of family, I think, is kind of transcends that, in the sense that, like, family doesn't necessarily even mean the people that you're blood related to. It's the people that are there when shit is bad.
Oh yeah, which, like I said, it would come back for my number two. It would come back for my
which,
one, my
which
one
we
day.
Can get into right now is the perfect time to
there you go, man.
Which is,
it would be for my my best friends, which I would also, you know, call my family. So
yeah.
there is a difference between this, whether or not it's blood, but at the same time,
oh, absolutely.
I consider that my...
You pick your friends, you're giving your family.
My family, so...
Yeah, but it's the same sort of thing. It just sort of, I think it comes down more to, like, who are the people when you're like, I need this person in my fucking corner.
Oh, yeah.
Who can you turn to? Like, there's a difference between, like...
I've got quite
people
a few.
People you know and those people, which is great. I mean, that's what life's really about, right? Is, like, just having, like, knowing that you have those people in line.
Yeah. Yeah. I, at school and conservatory.
We went to college together.
Right. We did go to college. Yeah. And, I mean, you can agree with this, too. Even I'm bringing this back to some of the acting work that we've done. One of the first... guideposts that we learn about acting, one of the most important thing you can have is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship.
Yeah.
What is my relationship in the scene, in my life, at my job, you know, on my date? It could be any given, your relationship, identifying what that relationship is. And I'm fortunate enough to where some of my best friends that I have, I've known since first grade. And
yeah.
I'm still brothers with them. You know, I take a bullet for them.
That's incredible. And those are such... People that met each other at that point, like, those are such formative years that at that point, when you're going through those most important experiences together, there's, like, a link that sort of can't be messed with. Like, there's six people I went to high school... Six isn't an exact number, but there's a select group of people I went to high school with that I went through important, like, development stages with.
Sure.
That bond's always going to be there. I'm sure you feel it the same way. It's like, or college is the same way. Like, there's always going to be... You're the first.
And they still rat out me till today. They still make fun of me about it today. So.
Oh, that's
the best part.
That's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's what great friends really do the best.
Oh, ruthless. Like, absolutely savage.
And they don't care what you fucking do. They don't care how fucking successful you become. They'll always take the piss out of you, which is important, because I feel like people like that go crazy or like get famous and they become unchecked, like they surround themselves with yes men. That's when shit starts to go bad. The people that knew you when you were 13, like, can you imagine the first time that, like Sid Vicious? Can you imagine the first time Sid Vicious tried to sell someone he went to middle school with to call him Sid Vicious? They'd be like, dude, that's a fucking lamest name of all time. You're not Sid Vicious? Are you serious? Like, anybody that knew.
I have to beat him.
Exactly. Like, or like. Like, it's the same. Like, can you imagine being Curtis Jackson, like, trying to tell someone you went to elementary school with, be like, yo, call me 50 Cent? They're like, Curtis.
50.
I'm not calling you 50. Your name is fucking Curtis.
Curtis, come in for lunch. Shut up, mom.
Yeah.
My name's 50.
And the people that lose their real core friends that they had at that time are the people that can, like, call themselves 50 Cent and not, like, realize, like, this is nuts. I'm calling myself 50 Cent. Like, and so I love that you're the first person that's brought up family or friends as a...
I think it's... Again, I don't speak for everyone because, you know...
I'm not saying it's out of the ordinary.
Right.
I love that you did it.
But a lot of people, you know, don't have the kind of friend group that I have as from that young of an age, and I have a core group of four to five people that I've known, and it extends even further beyond that. It's ripples of within that diameter of people that we've created a network of relationships that are so vital to my success and my own sanity that I don't know where I would be. I was a sponge growing up. I was very impressionistic. I like being characters. I like having a lot of fun. You know, I love just making random weird noises and faces and body movements. It's all part of why I do what I do. And my friends, we have so many inside jokes. We have our own language, for God's sake, that if I were sitting across the room or the bar, and this is true, by the way, and if I were to make a little gesture or in Ferris Bueller, when Cameron, during the parade, and the cop's out there, and he's making the hand signals, and Cameron's just, like, shaking the hands, and he's doing his thing. Basically, this is like what our friends, my group, can do. And we can communicate with each other. We know exactly what we want and what we want to do, to an extent, obviously, depending on how influenced alcohol and other stuff. But the point is that we have that bond. We've reached that point to where we're past, we know each other's weaknesses, which I think is so important. We know what we need. We know how to help each other. And we all care very deeply about each other. And we want to see each other succeed. So, and Paul... I was talking about Paul's part, my buddy Matt, Kevin, Sebastian, Mike, Nick, Chris. The list goes on and on and on and on. I it's endless. And even my buddies at college, I made some lasting relationships in Marist, and I never wanted to be a part of one friend. I never felt like I belonged to a certain friend group. I was a jock, or I was a geek, or a nerd, whatever. People label. It's just labels. I just got along with people. And people say, oh, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I'm going to hang out there. You're going to hang out with them? I was like, yeah, they're fun. They're good people. And I just applied myself to just being myself to other people. And I didn't have to think about it as, groups and or, who liked who, who's popular. I just wanted to go where I was accepted for who I was, and people that found my ridiculous craziness okay among them, you know?
It's very interesting to hear you say that, because that comes across to other people completely clearly, too. And I don't think a lot of people can say that they do stuff like that, and it just won't come across like that. When I met you, I felt like I entered into a very large network of people that you are at this sort of center of. You know a lot of people, and you have a very special talent of making the people that you're around feel like they're important to you, which is, I'm not saying it's fake. I think that right. You legitimately care about people,
yeah.
But I feel like this is the right way to tell you that you have a talent of making the people that you're around feel like they're the people you want to be around, which not a lot of people have. It's a very sincere thing.
Like, yeah. No, thank you. I mean, it's...
You've never struck me as a distracted person. Where you're at is where you're at, which is super cool, especially in, like, the cell phone age.
Right.
But it's...
Oh, my God, please, spare me.
I mean, right, it's... But at the same time, it just... Since I've known you, it makes so much sense that, like, friends and family are two of the things that you picked, because you do seem like you're somebody who has, a very strong grasp of who... your friends are and how...
I mean it when I say that I would not be... You know, a lot of my jokes, a lot of my material, a lot of my personality comes from a joint collaboration of my friends. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say I'm not my own person, you know. In fact, I like to tell you, of our group, you know, and I have no problem saying this, I'm easily one of the ones who are, you know... With that, you know, catchy, snappy, you know, drive to bring it, to always, you know, raise the bar higher, and we all do. But again, I've recognized my own talents and abilities, and I'm obviously, it's always a process of learning, and I'm still, it will never end. You know, I'm continuously studying and learning from, you know, other people and, you know, throughout history. That's just the way to further and enhance yourself and your ability to grow as a human being, is to learn, steal and learn from other people as actors. You know, I constantly, you know, I watch what this actor does in this movie or in this play, body language and little tics and little hand movements and every little tiny thing. And they're so important. So I like that. I'm going to use that.
I'm going to
add that to my repertoire. I'm going to use that for my ability to help me grow. And he's like a chameleon, you know, and you just a chameleon, not as blending in, to blend in, but a chameleon adapting to your environment, basically. So,
absolutely.
Which is so underrated. It really is.
And as far as our friendship goes, I met you my sophomore year of college. You were a senior.
It was a good year.
It was a good year. And
it was a good year.
That year was really interesting for me, because that was my turning point year. I became the person that I am right now my sophomore year of college, mostly because of knowing you and a person named Jackie Cosgrove. And it was because you guys introduced me to the way people knew you two was really influential in the way that I went about the rest of college and the way that I know the way social situations to be, because I didn't know a lot of people my freshman year. I wasn't, like, I didn't do that thing that people are supposed to do where you, like, break out of some shell freshman year or whatever.
Right.
I was really sheltered. I really only knew a few people, and the people in this improv group that we met in are some of those people. But you guys knew a lot of people, and not just a lot of people. You knew a lot of different kinds of people.
Right.
And you went about knowing them the same way with everybody. And I just sort of learned something we were talking about earlier before the mics came on, that the way you go at people is such a... It's so indicative of how they'll come back to you. If you're just... Be chill with the people that want to be chill with you. And nothing else above that. And I would like to... thank you or let you know that. Like,
I'm so happy that And I've told you this countless times, that I'm so happy that we're in this journey together, that our friendship is alive and well, and that...
You're one of my better friends,
man. Yeah, man, for sure.
We've known each other a long time.
Dude, and like, I've... For sure, man. We'll bro out here. I've told you, anytime you need, you know, phone call advice, anything, man, I got a couple years on you, so... I probably made some more mistakes than you, for sure. God knows we all
make
them. You've
done more everything than me. I was a very reserved kid.
Then I'm so happy I got to break you out of shell, man.
No, it really was. It was, that year was a big... the semester before that, too, my second one... since I met the people that are a lot of the guests on this podcast, or just have become the most influential people in my life, I will always say that that sophomore year of college was the one where I became the person that I am.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. You know, Jackie's one of my best friends, and she's incredible. Our freshman year, she was one of the first people that I met at Marist College.
Which is where we went. I don't know if we mentioned
Which is where we graduated from. With over 3.0, both of us. You graduated over 3.0, dude.
If we're putting this on record.
Yeah, if I'm putting it on record,
I feel like two people that are my mom and dad can know the truth about that. And then everybody else can assume that I am a 4.0 student.
4.0 student here, ladies and gentlemen. 4.0 student.
You know what they call the
guy? Class AX.
Here's what it comes down to. What do they call the guy that graduates last in medical school?
I don't know.
They call him doctor.
Doctor. Right. He's still got his PhD.
I graduated. Let's leave it at that.
Right. I call it a salary might be higher than yours.
We both have a degree that says we went through Marist College. Leave it at that.
That's right. But I'm the cool doctor. I'm the guy you like request when you show up to the
office. Oh yeah, you have a nice resume and some references.
Oh, I don't even need a resume. Just people just know who you are. They're just like, oh, that guy? Oh yeah, I want him. I want him to, you know, check me out, make sure I don't have tonsillitis or some other fucking.
For people listening, we do this thing at the end of being in our college comedy group where you get a present at the end of your tenure there. And we almost bought Dan Owen a t-shirt that said, "Everybody knows me." That was one of the things we almost got. It wasn't what it was.
I never knew that, dude. I never knew that. That's hysterical.
It was one of the ideas we got kicked around. It just because it was.
No, you guys got me a shake weight instead.
Oh my god, that was. Yes. You know.
I still have it in my room, you know.
That's hilarious, and there's a long story as to why that gift is so shitty. There's a long, long story.
Great.
That...
You couldn't have got me the night. Couldn't have got me like a $50 gift certificate to Target or Bed Bath & Beyond. No.
Dude, you know what? I'm so glad you reminded me of that, because the root of that story is the person that I'm roast battling Sunday night at Lovecraft Bar. 10 p.m. You know, we would have gotten you a better present, but Caitlin was so hungover that she threw up in the middle of the mall while we were shopping for you guys, and we had to bail.
Are you joking?
It was 2 p.m.
Why don't I know about any of this?
Because
where have I been the last since we graduated?
I don't know, because nobody was talking about it. We went there.
I thought I was so important. Everybody knows me, dude.
We went there with the full fucking intention of buying you and Jackie senior gifts, and then, dude, we were in the friggin'. Whatever, the fucking Dreamcatcher store, whatever that stupid store was. And then all of a sudden...
The Dreamcatcher.
Dude, she was I'm gonna puke.
Incense.
It was...
Smells.
It was a whole thing.
Love.
Dude.
Cracker Jacks.
Oh my
Anything
God.
You want.
Incense. Fucking incense is such a college thing to have.
Ugh. Incense. Make my room smell smoky. Anyway, I want to keep telling you this story, because...
Go back to the story. I didn't mean to distract
you. No. It was well put. So our freshman year, is talking about, you know, the humorist and Jackie, and I auditioned for the humorist my freshman year, and I remember Gabby and Vogel, I believe, were the leads. They were two of the heads.
That sounds right.
And I think Johnny was in there too.
Johnny would have been.
Ryan was already in.
Ryan, Bill, Ben.
All the guys were in, and. You know, that improv was relatively new to me. I had never done any previous work in high school, any middle school, etc., of any theater, any performance work at all. The only performance work I did was when I was at home at the dinner table in front of my parents, when I would just leave the table and start dancing around like an idiot, because that's just what I did. Anyway, Jackie and I made it to the finals. Jackie, I, and some other girl.
Some fucking loser.
Yeah, she couldn't have been that funny because she didn't make the group.
She was probably a fucking idiot.
Well, to put it nicely, she kind of sucked. Anyway, Jackie made the group. And you know when they, you know,
of course she did.
All right, everyone, close your eyes and hold out your hand or do whatever.
No, yeah.
And it
gets inside baseball.
All right, I'm not even going to talk. You're gonna get your head tapped. And guess what? Little Tiny Tim wasn't there for Christmas this year because Jackie got it and I didn't. And I remember being so upset about it, but not like in the sense of like animosity against her. It was just, I was disappointed in myself.
We have something in common there. Because my first tryout, I also made it to the finals and did not get into this group. And was fucking furious. Not at them, but at myself.
Fucking A.
And it was, I knew exactly why they didn't take me. And I don't blame them. I'm surprised they
took... I don't remember exactly why. I honestly didn't have that great of a... audition. I was nervous.
That's the problem with improv. I mean, improv, yeah. you could
But it was my first tense. Time around. It was my first time around with
Which
it.
Is the same thing I'll always say. And then in that semester between not getting in and getting in, I fucking learned about improv comedy. Like, I watched Upright Citizens Brigade stuff. Like, I went from not knowing what improv was to knowing, like, Matt Besser's fucking biography that second semester. And then I'm surprised they took me then, but they did, and it was it's cool. It's nice to have that in common. Me, you, Bill has Bill? That in common.
Really, does he?
Colin and Caitlin.
Colin didn't get in his first time around?
Me, Colin, and Caitlin all auditioned together and got rejected.
No. Who got in? That when you guys
a girl named Megan who
Oh, Skeletor.
That's just insane.
Come on, dude. All boundaries were broke like 10, 20, 30 minutes ago.
Who Megan actually is, it sounds like so.
I got problems. I can't be in your group anymore.
All right, yeah, lady. You've only made it harder to say that Megan had some problems with anorexia and did not end up coming back to school.
I don't know if it's that complex.
I think it's about as simple as she never made it back to her sophomore year.
I'll tell you what, people, I don't have a problem with social problems, but anyone who's got one, you gotta go fuck yourself. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Anyway, Megan, yeah, tragic loss. It happens.
I mean, people come and go all the time. But, yeah, so Friends is a big one. I'm sure it's hard because I'm sure I could ask it, like, it'd be a dumb question to be like, what's your favorite story with your friends? Like,
mine?
Do you have, like, one defining time with... You've mentioned... It's hard because you mentioned so many friend groups, but is there, like, one point where you're like, I would be so fucked without my friends right now? It's cool if you don't have one.
No, I mean...
One comes to mind.
I think the problem is that there's probably so many that they all blend together that how do you just decipher which one is, you know, the level? One moment with all the guys. I think something that can embody something a little greater than that is that, as when I was in high school, something that I, it was a big part of my childhood, was playing a lot of, sports. We played a lot of just games in the neighborhood with each other. Football, soccer, I mean, any sport, every other day, depending on the season, it was a new... it was a new sport, a new game, and it was always a competition. It was always a battle. As much as we loved each other, and as much as we got along, whoever was on the opposite team of something growing, you just wanted to go, you know, headstrong. You wanted to beat whoever you were beating, and even I think about all these different games that we played, and I'm so happy that I was able to have these sorts of, you know, friends who, you know, who got pushed, knocked around, punched, fights, all this craziness. Anytime someone got knocked down, no matter how bad it was. There was someone there to help pick you up. There was always someone there to if you were getting made fun of, if you were getting, you know, knocked around, or you weren't as good as someone else. Lucky I never experienced that. Thank you. well, facts be facts. There was always, you always had one friend who you could call on your cell phone and be like, man, I fucking hate him, or man, I couldn't fucking stand blah, 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 blah today. And they were like, yeah, definitely. You want to hang out? You want to go to get pizza? You want to,
yeah,
you know? You.
That seems so, like as good a place as any to bring the first half to a landing.
Yeah, here it comes crashing in.
No, we're not crashing in. That's
no, I always make a scene when I come in.
No, I understand. No, and I think it's such a good, I think it's such a good use of picks 4 and 5 to do family and friends, because you definitely strike me as somebody who's come from a strong family and
four
strong
and five.
Friends. Yeah, those were your 4 and 5.
That's my 4 and 5.
You
can be 3 and 4, 1 and 2. All right,
because you're somebody that goes along with bits, and you will be friends with anyone that wants to be friends with you, pretty much, you know, to a limit. I'm not saying like,
oh, trust me, I got my problems with a lot of people. I get. It's amazing how, you know what? The thing is, I have a short temper. All my friends know I do, but at the same time, there's also many times in many circumstances where I don't, and I'm.
Well, you have a short temper, but you're also probably quick to forgive if you know that it was, yeah, if it's necessary.
Yeah. I just get pissed off at dumb shit. People are just so stupid. It makes me... I have no patience for stupidity.
What's something that...
And like, something I get from my dad.
You? What's something that gets you? Like, what's the thing that someone can do that makes you... Because I don't know you as somebody who gets mad at at people who don't deserve it. What's something that sets you off, whether they're like just something somebody does that fucking gets at you?
People who really don't have like a grip on reality, in the sense that they have so many fortunes, they have so many opportunities, and they don't recognize it. They just take it for granted, you know? They just, They still just act, you know, inconsiderate and blind to the people around them. Even though, unfortunately, because, like I said, money talks. They have plenty of money. They have so much opportunity to succeed. And yet, no matter how close you are with them, or no matter what your given circumstances with that person, they still find a way to be an absolute jerk, or, you know, that's really what it is. People who still find the way to be a jerk. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times they just don't care about other people's feelings. They just don't think about what other people are going through. And
absolutely,
it's really sad. It's really, really sad for people that have the opportunity and are on the platform to be able to do something right, and yet they still abuse their power, and they don't use it in a positive way, and they do it for their own selfish needs. And like, I get it. I understand. Okay, this is it's a game. It's a hustle. It's a hustle out there. Whether or not you want to accept it, you want to deny it, fine. The sooner you start playing in the game and understanding what this world is, the sooner you're going to be better off on yourself. Because it is. It's And anyone who says, anyone who wants to, you're just, oh, that's funny, Dan, you know. It's like, you think what you want, okay? This world, it's a cruel world. It's not the happy-go-lucky utopian society. And I'm the number one person who wants that. But it's not. There are crazy people in this world. There are people who, there are people who don't care about you or anyone like you. There are people who would have no problem with ending your life or doing something tragic, causing a tragedy among a part of a society, and that's really disturbing. You know,
it's sad.
That's really disturbing, man. Not to get super down about it, but like, it's the honest truth, and like, which brings me back to the family and friends. Why I'm so thankful that in this world that I've been so blessed to come up in, like, I've had it really good amidst all my troubles, and I've been through the fucking grinder, man. I've had a lot of fucking shit, but who hasn't? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not alone.
Yeah, no,
I'm not special. So it is what it is, man. You just gotta keep grinding, man. And don't take anything for granted.
Fuck yes. Keep grinding. Don't take anything for granted. That is a fucking perfect place to take a halfway point.
Yeah.
Not only because I have to pee so badly.
I can take a leak too.
Yeah, but no.
Don't.
A break is definitely needed.
Don't take anything for granted, because I too many times have I thought something, hoped for something, and I'm not a guy who lives with regrets. I'm not a guy who does, and it's hard. It's difficult not to, but there have been things that in the moment, like we all have, we've regretted, but it's because I took things for granted, because I think I thought things would stay this way forever, and when all of a sudden things start hitting the fan, you know, and everything's flying around and everything's in chaos, who do you turn to, and how long are they going to be there for you? And you know, I've been so lucky enough to have that group for me, and I hope to continue to build that and hold on to that as I go on, but you know, live every day like it's your last, and that's it.
That's a great... All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Take a quick break.
We'll be right back.
Word, let's do it.
All right, and we're back. Back with Daniel Owen here.
Nah, he's lying. I'm not here.
No, he's not here. All right.
No.
Making me look crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just keep going.
Hey, how you doing?
Number three, your third thing.
Is that we're up to already? Three?
Yeah, we do. Family and friends was a long... Those are big topics.
What can I say? I got a big family. I got a lot of friends. What are you going to do?
You do have a lot of friends. That's very true.
No, I'm... Yeah, okay, fine. Maybe, maybe they don't always like me, but I call them friends. They say they know me.
All right, well, your number three thing.
Music. Music, specifically. Music. Huge, music, here we go. Huge, how more general could I possibly
huge
be?
Huge topic. Don't worry. We'll get into very specific.
Let's dive in.
Music. Is there a genre that... even before genre, what's the first thing you remember musically being like this? The Who? Really, as like a little kid?
Yes. Every time I played... I was an athlete growing up. And hockey... Hockey was one of my main sports, and every day to hockey practice, that 90% of the time, 99% of the time, my dad took me. He had Quadrophenia, both discs, in the CD player, Jeep Grand Cherokee, and Who's Next. And my dad was a drummer, and my dad and I used to sing and do instruments in the car, and all the above, as you can imagine. You know how that goes. Think Step Brothers. The final scene.
Yeah. No, that sounds...
That's my dad and I with The Who. So.
That sounds incredible, but it's funny to me because a lot of kids will reject what their parents try to play for them, like, in the car. Like, it just isn't... Like, my first remembrance of music is NSYNC. That's the first thing I remember being like, this is what...
Well, I
the
mean,
world says
I also
music.
I also remember Kids Bop and now two and now four now with you know whatever the hottest songs were. I remember that it was just as relevant to me during that time. But things that was, I mean, I my favorite classic rock band today is The Who.
That's amazing. No, I'm saying that's really cool that you were able to recognize quality music at that point, because when I was... The first memories I have of music are my dad incessantly playing Bruce Springsteen. And me not getting it. And me just being like, this is a fucking guy.
Who the hell is this guy?
Why aren't we listening to friggin' NSYNC, the greatest musical band of all?
You weren't a Backstreet Boys fan?
I probably was, too. Actually...
He did,
not,
didn't he?
Not Nick Carter. Do you remember Aaron Carter?
I do remember Aaron Carter.
Did you go to the fucking Aaron Carter? There was a thing at Marist
what,
where people...
Poughkeepsie? Oh, yeah. Remember, you talking about his after party when he came to our house?
Fuck, yes.
He came to the farmhouse. This moron.
Aaron Carter made it a point to play in the town that we went to college with every year, because people would go ironically and rage as hard as they could to go see Aaron Carter. Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys' younger brother, for anyone that wasn't a child between 1998 and 2002.
You know what I really want to know? I want to know how Shaq felt when they made that music video.
When he could beat Shaq?
Yes, I want to know how Shaq felt when they made that video. Did he just say, like, I just want to, like, I just want to, like, punt this kid across the river. I want to, like... Like, he's like, yeah, fuck you, Shaq. I'm going to beat you one-on-one in this music video. You ain't going to do nothing about it.
For anyone...
Real talk. And Shaq's just like... Like, I could crush you. I could end you.
For anyone that doesn't know, Aaron Carter was Justin Bieber 10 years before Justin Bieber existed. And he had a song... Where the premise of it was a rap about how he was going to beat Shaquille O'Neal in one-on-one basketball.
And let me clarify, win a one-on-one battle.
Win handily. Like, not just win. He's going to kick Shaq's ass.
Uber everywhere. YouTube it. Aaron Carter beat Shaq in one-on-one.
Aaron Carter later became a crackhead and has one of the greatest YouTube videos I've ever seen, where he's fighting on a reality show with his brother Nick, and he just screams at him, "You don't understand me."
I have no idea what you're talking about, but that sounds hysterical.
It's incredible.
Is it like it's supposed to be a parody?
It's very real.
Wow, then I don't think I want to see it.
It's like it's an MTV show from like 2004 called like The Carters, where like it's Nick and Aaron Carter's life.
I hate you. No, I hate you. You're the worst brother. Yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
no one had a rougher like 2005 than Aaron Carter.
Oh,
like,
cry me a fucking river.
No, I know.
Cry me a fucking river. This guy's. Oh my god.
Dude, fair
please.
Enough. Wait, hold on. But can
please.
You?
Please. Go ahead. Tell me what you want
to
say.
I'm not saying to feel bad for him, but on a certain level,
giving a donation to Aaron Carter.
When you're dumb and 16, and then the whole world for 3 years tells you you are the fucking greatest, and then all of a sudden you're 22, nobody fucking cares. Your life is over. Can you imagine the fucking crash?
He should have dated my girlfriend at the time. You want to know her? You want to know what her name was?
What?
Anita Rita Bookman.
Right.
Tell that asshole to read a fucking book.
I get that he doesn't need to be felt bad.
I don't care. This one. It drives me fucking crazy. And read a book. Get over yourself.
I know, but...
I have no pity for this kind of kid.
I'm not saying to pity him. I'm just saying, can you imagine the come down from being that young
it would
and
suck.
Stupid and famous and
right.
like
but,
nothing?
But look at how many stars have made it from that 16 young and stupid.
Like Jason Bateman.
Well, Justin Timberlake, for instance. He was a young kid. Ryan, La La Land over here.
Gosling? But for every Ryan Gosling, there's like 10 Corey Feldmans.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, man. These guys, like, there's a
dude,
bunch of
them.
Did
you see Corey Feldman go on Good Morning America and try to sing about 2 months ago?
No,
I wish. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen in entertainment. You have to look up this video. Corey Feldman...
What's the other video you said we had to watch tonight, too, that we were talking about earlier? I'm not to get off topic, but...
I don't even remember. It was Corey Feldman.
I'm going to remember what you said.
I don't know. Corey Feldman. But we're completely off track right now. Music. I asked you, we were talking about what the first musical
The
was.
Who.
And it was The Who. Perfect.
Pure and easy.
Perfect.
And I say that in relation to the music I listened to and the specific song and to...
What? Do you have a genre you lean towards?
Classic rock.
Classic rock to this day?
No. No, at that given time, that's what
at
I was exposed to.
At that given time,
to.
I just mean, over the course of your whole life, is there one genre that you've leaned towards?
No. I have multiple.
Something I find happens with people who really like music, is that they'll, if you ask them what their favorite genre is, they'll sort of be like, I like aspects of all of them and hate aspects of all of them.
It's the universal language of the world.
It's true.
Because no matter what language you speak, if you can hear, if you have the ability,
it's
the cognitive sense to through your sense of hearing.
It's one of the easiest ways to
Anyone can get along off of something with music by listening to it. This person could hate this person, but they both love the same exact music. That's incredible. That's something, isn't it?
It really is. Or how people can hear a million different things in a grouping of words. Like, I think I mentioned it in passing before. My favorite band of all time is My Chemical Romance, which a lot of people think is the dumbest thing ever. But they were...
That's your favorite band, you're saying?
They're my favorite band of all time.
You want to know something funny? I don't think I could name you one song.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
A name of a song. Nope. I don't know.
That was a huge radio hit in 2005.
Nope. Back to 2005. Here we go. Aaron Carter. Hey, Aaron, come on in. The door's open.
But, no.
He's a candy bar. Shut up.
They're a band that gets crapped on a lot. maybe with...
Dude, is this part of 2000... Okay, so their biggest album was 2005, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Or, 2005 for sure.
It was the Black Parade. Punk rock?
They were,
because I don't know them. I have no judgment. I have literally not a single opinion on them because I don't know them.
The way people look at them is they're... people call them the first emo band, pretty much, because they were all about the, like, makeup, fucking black eyes
out. Right.
But what they did was they wrote these really complex concept albums. Like, the Black Parade is based on a gothic idea where death will come for you in the form of your fondest memory. So for this guy, it was a parade that
the depressing way to look at it, though, isn't it?
I think it's exactly the opposite.
Really?
Like, everybody has to die, right? So if the last thing you get to experience is your happiest memory just enfolding you...
Oh, no, that's great, but maybe I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
So, like, welcome...
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been drinking for quite some time, so maybe I lost my train of thought there for a second. So, please, explain it.
It's called that because the whole album is about this guy that's got cancer, and the first five songs are him, like, dealing with that. It's, like, all his stages of grief. Their big radio hit, Welcome to the Black Parade, starts real slow and ends really fast, and the moment when it switches is when he dies. And the reason a parade comes to take him is because his happiest memory was one of the only times he got to spend with his dad. His dad took him to a parade in New York City.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's this whole big thing. They get written off as... We started talking about this because they're my favorite band. We should be talking about your...
I'm just as interested as hearing about you, man.
No. Their second album is a thing about... You remember the song Helena? You don't remember this
Dude,
at all?
I don't know any of their music. I'm telling you right now, okay. I have no idea.
Because this was the first video I remember watching on MTV. This must have been like 2002. Right. This song is the biggest thing. But it's an album about a guy is in love with a girl. They're going to get married. On the way to their wedding, she dies in a car accident. He's devastated.
That sounds exhausting.
He makes a deal with the devil that...
Friend of the devil is a friend of mine.
If he brings the devil the souls of 1,000 evil men, he can have his wife back. After he gets a thousand evil men.
Damn, got a lot of work to do.
After 999, he realizes he's the most evil man left, and then kills himself so that his wife can live again. Right?
Dramatic ending.
Yeah, it's all emo and sad and stuff. I ate this shit up when I was
of course in, you did. Of course you did. I get it. But God, they just get me.
I forgot how I got.
They just get me.
I forgot how we got into me talk. Like, see, this is the problem. It's like I can't be talking about My Chemical Romance. Right, so what's your music?
Okay, so we were talking about the Who. We were talking about our favorite bands and biggest influences. So, like I said, every day on the way to hockey, my dad was a drummer. So, picture you guys are listening, but I want you to just create a little image in your mind. You know, when you drive with one hand on the steering wheel, you got one hand on the changing the gears. Whether it's an automatic or a stick shift. You're sitting there and you do a little tap. Both of them are going to change the gears, the stick, and then on the driving wheel. You got the window, you got your percussion up in the top right and left on the dashboard, all over. And my dad used to sit and we'd drive and go to my hockey games. And I'd sit there, and the thing is, it was like pump-up music for me, and almost in a way. My family is a very competitive family. And coming from that and... setting a standard not only for myself, but from what I know that was expected of me as well. So I had that, this energy running through me. And when the real me came on, oh, Keith Moon? Oh, please, he used to wail on the drums. Rest in peace, Keith Moon. One of, if not the greatest drummer to ever do it. And my dad was a drummer too, and he'd go, just go. And I'm sitting there, and I'm a little kid, and I'm just getting pumped up by it. And Peter Townsend with the Windmill and Roger Daltrey, you name it. And Whistle, they one of the first bands I truly learned history about.
You would only find dumb people to argue that the Who aren't a good band.
Hey, I mean, you want to hear a funny story is when the Who, when they were up and coming and the Rolling Stones had the concert and they were the main attraction, the big show, and the Who was their pre-band. They were the band that was playing before them. And the Who they were so fucking good that people were calling for an encore. And you had the Stones on the side of the stage, like, in, like, awe. Like, like, we're ready to go on the stage, and the Who is getting cheered, rattled on to stay on, to keep playing.
Isn't that funny? It's insane.
Isn't that funny?
It's something that doesn't happen anymore. There aren't rock stars like that anymore.
Oh, different. You know, you can't even compare it. You can't even put it in. You can't.
I think it comes down to there's so many more now that, like, there are people that love people as much as people love The Who. But there's at that point, there was, like, 8 bands that you got to pick.
But a lot of the music at that time reflected the times as well. Just as the music today reflects the time, you know? That's why we have all these fucking Miley's and, Miley Cyrus, all these bullshit... This brainwash, reflects the time. But think back then. The rock and roll, I mean...
Pop music has always been pop music, though. Like, pop music is scientifically designed to be what it is. Like, I think you can definitely trace music, through what's happening. I think people more like Kendrick right now reflect...
Kendrick is unbelievable.
He reflects what's going on right now too, because fucking Kendrick.
Okay, but on the positive side, then on the way I view it on a positive side, someone like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, through hip hop specifically, are, you know,
hip hop is where music went to right now. Like, I love punk rock and I love.
But hip hop is not, you know, I didn't grow up on today's the way my favorite hip hop growing up was. Big L, Biggie Smalls, and Outkast, A Tribe Called Quest, Rip the Fife Dog, man. I was Nate Dogg and Wu-Tang and Eminem, even Tupac, Dre, all these guys, hip-hop, Andre Nicotina.
Yeah.
Dude, Andre Nicotina. So you want to talk about one of my favorite rappers. You want to talk about music. Andre Nicotina. Most people don't know him. I'm giving you a shout-out, Andre Nicotina. I hope that you somehow listen out on this, because you are one of the biggest rap influences on me. And my buddies, too, all our close friends. I still listen to him all the time. He's the man. Nicky, but you can call me Dre. What up? I'm only in town for one day. What up?
Yeah.
So good.
Absolutely. This is the kind of shit I want to uncover. I've never heard of that person before.
Dude, Andre Nicotina. Look into him. But that's, talking about growing up, so The Who. So I'll snap through. So The Who was the first classic rock band I was introduced to. But Pink Floyd, The Rolling Stones, The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, classics you've heard of. But Creedence, David Bowie. Rest in peace, of course. Traveling Wilburys, James Brown, George Clinton. It goes on and on. I've been listening to a lot of Phish, The Grateful Dead, Jerry Garcia, Jeff Beck, Robert Plant.
A lot of jam bands.
Tons of jam bands. But, where do I... the list goes on and on and on. I listen to a lot of, Muddy Waters. My mind is racing thinking about all these bands. There's too many. Rest in peace. Who just passed away?
George Michael.
No, just passed away today.
Today?
Or yesterday, yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Derek Trucks' uncle. What's his name? From the Allman Brothers.
Dude, I don't know. Mary Tyler Moore died yesterday, though.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Mary Tyler Moore. This bothers me that I can't think of this right now.
I would help you if I could. I feel bad that I don't know who it is. A couple music. I fucking love music. As you know, I know how to play.
Yes.
We both know how to play instruments. I fucking love music. Live music is one of my favorite things to go do, because it's actually non-stressful. Because we both are in the performing arts, but music is strictly a hobby for me. So if I go watch live music, I cannot... Like we were saying with the plays before, you watch it, like, I could do that role. I could be up there.
Yes.
I don't watch music like that. I fucking love enjoying just standing in the crowd for music. So...
Oh, please. I mean, I've... Recently, I just saw Steve Miller Band.
My dad loves the Steve Miller Band.
Dude, Steve Miller, what a character.
Dude,
is he
like... crazy in person? Is he like a... Just
look, I'll tell you is that this guy's on stage, he's got a smile on his face, he looks like he's fucked up on something. He is just so happy, he's just up there, he's hanging out, and he's talking very much, very laid back, like he's, I'm so happy to be here, guys, we're here to fucking rock and roll. And we got a couple more songs for you, so far out, dude. Here we're gonna go. We're gonna rock. He's like, you should have seen it, man. On a Thursday night, we used to go see the Grateful Dead play. You know, Jerry used to get up on there, him and Bob and Phil, they just go rock out like it was no one's business. Friday night, we go and see fucking, you know, the Stones play. We'd go, we'd just fucking dig all these drugs and rock out. And Saturday, we'd have a show. And they'd all be coming to watch us, and we'd all go out, you know, far out, dude. So we're gonna get a, we got another song for you. Here we go. They're unbelievable. He was great. I'm sitting there, I'm like, this guy, he's not making sense of anything he's saying, but he's great. What a great personality.
Nothing he says must make sense.
Dude, how engaging he was. How he captured the entire audience.
Dude, I saw Paul McCartney like 6 months ago, and he told a story at one point about how him and Jimi Hendrix were sitting in the back of some club watching some kid. They were like, well, this guy's fucking incredible, and it turned out to be Eric Clapton. Like, I could have...
Oh, please, don't even get me started.
I could have watched Paul McCartney just tell stories for 3 hours. He could have played no songs, and I would have just listened to him talk.
Paul McCartney, the storyteller. Oh, what about Ringo? He's a little pissed off, doesn't get to talk either.
So I'm John Lennon.
I'm John Lennon. Shut up, you aren't even a major part of the Beatles.
My wife. Can't sing.
Oh, Mary,
she can't
my
even
wife.
Sing a little bit.
Yoko, she's a total... she's a total gold digger, if I said it myself.
Another great YouTube, if you get the chance. Yoko Ono covering Katy Perry's Firework at a museum.
That sounds like a clown act.
It does not.
That is not actually a real thing.
It is a real thing that does not sound like a human being trying to make music. There's not one recognizable word. If I didn't tell you Katy Perry Firework, you would be like, what the fuck is someone doing to this raccoon right now? Like, you would be like, it literally sounds like a raccoon being slowly dipped in acid.
Yeah, Yoko Ono, yeah, she had bigger problems. She had bigger problems, to say the least. Anyway, I wanted to say really quick, because I'm embarrassed. I couldn't remember. Butch Trucks. And his nephew is Derek. Do you know who Derek Trucks is?
I know who Derek Trucks is.
Derek Trucks is it's all subjective, but debated, one of the greatest guitarists that is alive right now.
Uh-huh.
Tedeschi Trucks Band. I got to see him in Central Park.
His specific style.
He's on another level.
Yeah.
Watching him play, he's on another level of playing. And I remember being in the audience at Central Park, at the Central Stage, and I'm sitting there watching his band play, and he's playing, and I just start laughing. I was like, this doesn't even make sense. What he's doing. I feel helpless. I feel like if I picked up a guitar right now, I might crap my pants, because that's how good it is. Like,
that's how I felt seeing fucking...
Unreal.
Metallica. And I'm not a metalhead. I don't really care for Metallica's music, but seeing them live, oh my god, Metallica is the greatest band of all time.
But seeing them live, my god, Metallica, the greatest band
when of they're all time. When they're on and playing together in sync, as somebody who can play all the instruments that they're playing, like, I know the basics of the... I know guitar really well. I know bass. I know the basics of drumming. Metallica is... crazy. The way that they are fucking... I've seen a lot of live music. The tightest...
It's the epitome of music.
Dude, the tightest band I've ever seen, hands down, is the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters...
I would love to see the Foo Fighters.
I've seen them five times.
I would love to see the Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters playing in person, I've never seen a band as on the same page with each other, and they play covers, they play their own... So they play for 3 hours... Right. One of the best musical things I've ever seen is they played the first 3 songs of The Wall with Grohl on drums and Taylor Hawkins singing. So he has the right voice, and Grohl is fucking pounding on the drums. They go In the Flesh, They go right up into, like... They didn't even do another Brick in the Wall Part 2. They stopped right before that and then played one of their own songs.
You're talking about that, dude. Fish, every Halloween, and I've never seen Fish. I've never seen them live. You're talking about jam bands, because they definitely... have been a big influence, and I, not to call them a jam band, but I want to call out 2 bands that are on the rise, that are so talented, that make such incredible music, that both of which I've seen, and that I have absolute confidence that are going to be 2 of the music that I look forward to in the future, are both the Other Brothers and Formula 5.
Okay, I haven't heard of either of those.
That's... Yes, you have. Do you remember when we were in the Humorous, when we went to improv, and when we did that show before the one band?
No fucking way. Them?
That's the other brothers.
They were great.
Yeah, they're fucking great. Yeah. And guess what? They've only gotten better.
I'm sure.
They've only gotten better.
They were fucking amazing.
And they are...
So for the people that don't know, this is a band that our improv troupe opened up for in the woods one time, like 4 years ago.
It was at the art gallery.
It was at an art gallery. But
gosh, I should know the name. I can't believe I can't remember the name of the art gallery.
This art gallery was in a barn in the middle of the woods in New Paltz, New York, which is like...
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's also like if 1973 happened and then time stopped. That's what New Paltz, New York is like.
And, you'll take a visit. You'll love the cornfields.
It's fantastic. No, it's a great town.
It's fantastic.
But this band, they were great. And they
the other
were
brothers.
Nice,
yeah.
They were nice enough to let us open for them. I'm so happy to hear that they are still in.
So my friends Brendan and John, who I... They're their two members. I do know the other members as well. But they're who I became friends with. We're friends with one of my best friends, Matt Karasik, when he went to New Paltz. Anyway, really good guys, very talented musicians, and I've seen them here and there when I can, when they make their tours and their visits around, and they have a lot of potential, and they're continuously growing, and they're so fun. There's so much energy, so much positivity, especially today's day and world. It's exactly the kind of music that I want to jump up on, do, and I know a lot of their influences and a lot of, you know, things they look up to, things like the Grateful Dead, and...
What they're doing.
Sure, but at least in relation to me, I became a fan of the Grateful Dead less than 2 years ago.
Yeah?
Dude, I can't even believe that. That is astonishing because that's my favorite band. It's my favorite music band.
I was going to ask you favorite
band.
Oh,
yeah.
It's Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Garcia. I play guitar and my total inspiration to guitar is Jerry Garcia.
That's
sure.
Really interesting.
Sure. I mean, sure, Eric Clapton. I mean, it's countless others, too. Oh. But my, you know, I hear Shakedown Street, you know. I hear Franklin's Tower. You know, Help on the Way. It's I lose it, man. I absolutely lose it.
It's really interesting. All the best music. Not all the best music. It's just, you could track... LSD arrests based on where the Grateful Dead were. At a certain point, the FBI was actually using their touring schedule, and you could see in the graphs, there'd be huge spikes in acid wherever the cities they were playing that night was. They would follow them, and to this day...
But they were upset about that, man.
They shouldn't have, man.
No. Okay, I jumped the gun by saying that. Not, they weren't upset about that, but understand... that by so many people doing a massive amount of drugs, it created a cult following among the Grateful Dead. There's a really great documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Netflix. Bob Weir is the center of it, and he talks about the whole growth of the Grateful Dead. And the Grateful Dead never intended for things to get so out of hands in their crowds. I mean, they were already rioting, going against cops. Tons of drugs, deaths, there were all, you know, cars, there was all this crazy stuff that was happening, and they never intended for that to happen. They weren't in support of it.
None of that is cool. None of that, like, attacking cops, all that shit, uncool. But the amount of people that got to experience what real LSD was like, strictly because of things like the Grateful Dead.
Dewey Cox, this is LSD.
Dude, it's one of those things that, like, you can't do it all the time, but if you do it one or two times and you get real stuff, you become, like...
No comment. No comment.
I'm probably going to cut this out because my parents listen to this, too.
Like I said, no comment.
Every once in a while, it...
You were a kid once. Oh. You got into trouble.
It's
not about how you start off the race. It's not about how you finish it. It's all about how you finish it. Don't judge.
It's the most...
I got no shame in that.
I hate that you didn't go down this road with me, because I'm going to cut this out for sure.
Ah, you are?
Yeah.
Ah, motherfucker. Fuck it, I chose a whole fucking bunch of times, man.
No, I just...
Don't cut it out.
No, I'm not gonna.
Oh, you fucking asshole, dude. You fucking asshole.
No, I just feel weird because my parents listen and I just admitted that I...
Yeah, I would have said it to my parents to listen to.
Well, I just admitted that I think every single person should try a psychedelic at least once because it opens Sorry, this is gonna be... The more I talk about it, the worse it gets.
Fuck it, man. Do it live.
Yeah, so that's music. I think that music is incredible.
It's underrated.
Is it?
Well, maybe not. Maybe I just have such a great appreciation for that every... No matter what mood I'm in, no matter how I feel, there's a certain song that can match my mantra, the way I'm feeling.
Absolutely.
I find myself walking down the streets of New York when a song comes on how I'm feeling and what's going on in my mind. A song comes on shuffle, and I just stop. And I just go, you gotta be fucking kidding me. No way did this song just come on. No way! That song is attached to a memory in the past. And that's... And now I'll make my final statement on that, is that... A lot of the music that I grew up on and or favorite songs, whether I don't like the band that much or there's just one or two songs from any sort of genre or style, that capture a moment in my life where I was feeling any sort of emotion. And, you know, a lot of them have to do with, you know, relationships, corny shit where I was in a place like, oh, why me? Like, this is like, everyone feels they're fucking special. Everyone says, why me? Why do I deserve this? Why do I have these problems? And everyone goes, everyone fucking feels it. But there's a song to every, you know, to every day, to every week, to every month, to every year, every part of my lifetime, at least when I was cognizant of remembering music, that a certain song. It's attached to a girl. It's attached to a meal, like a fucking burrito, or like a fucking funny time, you know, with a friend, or you know, a birthday, or a holiday, or a time we got snowed in and we're on the top of the mountain and we have hot coffee. You know, it can be anything. That music. There's a moment where every song, where everyone's singing in together, or just sitting there, like in just this deep thought about this song. And it's easily made me the person who I am. I'm constantly reflecting on myself as a person, as a human being, based on the music I listen to and the mood that I'm in. And whether it's good or bad, or it's helping me or not, I'm not going to deny the effect it has on me, and that totally makes me who I am. So yeah.
Music can alter moods and talk to you. What can it look?
To everyone. Even if... But... Even if you don't speak the same language.
So. Yeah, no, I agree completely with everything you just said. Music is... This whole show could be about music and we'd have nothing, like, short to talk about. We could talk about music forever. But that's not even what we're here to do. That was a good dive into music. And
well, I mean, the thing is, though, I could talk for hours. I mean, there's so much more I could even go into.
We just scratched the surface.
We just scratched the surface, and it's like, you know.
We scratched the surface, but also managed to incriminate me.
And me, too, by the way. Let it be known. My gosh. Oh, please. I'll tell you really quick, one of the best memories I have is when one day, I don't know if it was school got canceled or... I'll be quick. School got canceled or we just... So, you know, it was a random day of a winter break. My friend Mike Taylor and I were going to go sledding. And we were with a couple other people, but him and I were blasting Blink-182 in his Jeep, doing, like, donuts and doing other stuff in our neighborhood. Just you know, doing crazy Blink, just, like, singing out loud and just having an absolute blast. And obviously pissed or annoyed at something, smoking cigarettes, just, like, thinking... But I just feeling... It's one of the happiest memories that I ever have is Mike and I doing that for sure.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
That's
there's things like that you remember, like music attached to a moment. And like, I remember we went sledding and my buddy Sebastian and whoever else, they got separated and they were doing their own thing. And Mike and I were just like, fuck that. We're going to just have a good time. and we just, it was snowing out, and Quandre just going nuts, and just, you feel like you're on top of the world sometimes, and when music's a part of that, it will last with you. When I die, and when I'm thinking about those good moments, when my whole life lasts before me, music within those moments will without a doubt play a part, for sure, so.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly...
You hear that? Perfect. Next.
Really? Yeah. Why not? Why not next? Let's move on to number two.
Just a bit outside. Inside ball number three. 3-1 count here, and Jeter's up, and he butts his single to right field. That's right.
You've not accidentally turned on a baseball game.
I kind of did.
Just in case you were wondering.
I kind of did.
That
reminds me of Derek Jeter's last hit.
Oh my God, I was in the stadium for that.
But he had a single.
Yeah, it was...
Actually, it wasn't a home run, was it?
It was a single.
No, it was a single to right field.
It was a walk-off single.
Walk-off single to win the game, yes.
Single.
Right between the first base and second base.
It couldn't have been more Derek Jeter.
Could not have been more Derek Jeter.
I have never been at something or will be at something that was equally as magical as that. It was like the happiest
what hit
ever.
What I hit was his 2000 was it right, his 3000 with a home run was
he
a home
hit
run
a grand slam
that's what it was.
You that's why Derek Jeter's not a human being. Derek Jeter is what we're gonna evolve into in like
when Derek Jeter
hundreds of years.
When Derek Jeter has sex, he watches video clips of himself while he's doing it.
Derek Jeter is the greatest human
that's
being
what I
who ever
life
has
life.
Lived or ever will live. There's Derek Jeter is hey, is what human beings are working towards.
Dosh.
I do a bit in my stand-up where sometimes if I have extra time at the end, I'll ask the crowd, I'll be like, Derek Jeter's my favorite human being of all time. You guys can yell out any human...
Hey, fuck you. I'm a Boston fan. Hey, get the fuck out of here. We're from New York.
I haven't had that situation yet, but I'll ask them, yell anybody, and I'll tell you why Jeter's better than them. So I'll get people all the time being like, Abraham Lincoln. I'll be like, Abraham Lincoln never hosted Saturday Night Live.
Derek Jeter hosted Saturday Night Live?
Fuck yeah,
get out of here. When?
Fuck yeah. During the dynasty, I think like pre-9/11.
98, 99, 2000?
Yeah. Or
and then 2001, which they should have won, by the way.
Oh yeah, that was sad, Diamondbacks. People will be like, actually the hard ones are people like Mariano Rivera. Or people, like, when people yell out...
Those are people who actually understand their and know what they're talking about.
Well, if someone yells out things like Mariano Rivera, I'll be like, Mariano Rivera never fucked Mariah Carey.
Fuck that, dude. Mariah Carey's a joke, dude. You know what's fucking funny?
It's
funny. You know what's... It's fucking amazing that you brought her up as the first girl
Jessica
of all these
Biel, Jessica Alba.
Oh, please. Jessica Biel is a goddess, dude. Alba is a goddess. Mariah Carey... Everyone, you know, and guess what? She's from Long Island.
But she's the most
from right by my
town.
She's
the most famous name.
But she's a fucking joke, dude.
Sure. Now,
this girl, I can't even believe. Have you seen her at the New Year's?
Yeah,
have you seen her any time?
That was her first major fuck up.
Oh, please,
her first
dude.
Unless you
come
count
on, have
Mary
you been
Nick
on YouTube,
Cannon.
Dude?
Mary
this
Nick
girl,
Cannon,
dude. Honestly, man. I've heard her sing all her holiday specials. I know the point of how good she can be. I've heard her at her best. But I'll tell you what, dude. She...
are spiking like a motherfucker.
Good. I hope it is. I hope you're spiking like a fucking motherfucker. Is right. I'm not even going to talk shit. All I'm going to say is that Mariah Carey, eh. Eh.
Fair enough.
Overrated.
Fair enough. I'm just...
I don't want to hear about her.
Mariah Carey
is the most famous
person that Derek Jeter has had sex with.
No, she... Fine. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I don't know who Derek Jeter had sex with.
You could field a whole baseball team of famous actresses and supermodels that Derek Jeter has dated.
Yeah, plus a bench. And a draft lead, too.
You could do a lot. Brooklyn Decker. There's a lot.
Yeah, spare me. I don't even want to go into it. So if you guys haven't figured out by now that this fourth category is sports, and my teams, I'm born and raised in New York, and my teams are the New York Rangers.
Cool.
I bleed blue, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Jets, shut up. Don't make fun of me. Stop it. You stop it right now. I don't bleed green. That would be weird.
It'll be hilarious. We don't have a single one in common. You gotta keep going.
And the New York Yankees.
Fuck, yes. The New York Yankees are my favorite thing that's ever... Like, I love the New York Yankees so much. It's like... when you have kids, you definitely get to pick one thing that you love that they have to love. And my dad's was the Yankees. I had no choice.
I'm gonna tell you one of these memories that stands out with... I want to say it was first or second grade. Kevin, I'm going to make you listen to this. My friend Kevin is convinced, and he's right on some level, that the reason that I became a Yankee fan is because of him. Without a doubt, true on some level. Because my mom is a Mets fan, and my grandma was a Mets fan, and I just came around where I just wasn't a huge baseball fan as it is, and Kevin was a huge Yankee fan, and his dad was a huge Yankee fan. His dad used to go... I'll never forget the days of Tino Martinez, Derek Jeter, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams. I'm talking, you know, Mariano in his class, Mike Messina, Roger Clemens. All I'm talking about the guys in our
You're talking about
days.
The greatest baseball
I'm
team
talking
ever
about
assembled.
His 1998. Dad, Kevin's dad, we used to be at his house, and his dad used to go, El Duque, El Duque, El Duque, El Duque, Orlando Hernandez. Tino Martinez, Tino, 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 Tino Martinez, and hey, Bernie, Mariano's gonna take a dump on him. Mariano's gonna drop three strikes and take a dump on him.
I heard an interview
Unreal.
Once with Jason
Unreal.
Giambi.
I love Giambi.
Well, Jason,
amidst all the bullshit of steroids, I love Giambi.
This is when Giambi was on the Athletics.
Oh, he was a beast when he won the when AL MVP.
Yeah,
didn't he won
here.
2003.
He was a monster. No, he was on the Yankees.
Or 01. No, 01. He won the MVP.
But when he came to the Yankees, he gave an interview, and they were like, "What are you most excited about being in New York?" And he was like, "Are you kidding me?"
He did not say Derek Jeter. That you're gonna
no, he said Mariano Rivera. He's like, "You don't understand. If you're on another team and you hear Enter Sandman, you just want to pack up your shit and leave. You're so sad. You're like, we have no fucking chance." And they were like, "What's your favorite part?" He's like, "Mariano Rivera. You don't understand when you play this game.
That's respect.
You understand how good this man is at pitching." They didn't, you know, in contrast to that.
I love that. That makes me so happy.
When Mark Teixeira came to the Yankees, they were like, "What are you most excited about?" And he was like, "Oh, Broadway."
Yeah, of course. And Teixeira had some
ideas. I love Mark Teixeira. It just couldn't be a more different answer.
But he kind of has that, like, Goomba style anyway when he's
back. He just retired. I'm kind of bummed out about it.
I am too.
Gary Sanchez is the future of the Yankees.
Oh, that's an understatement. We'll see what happens with it. He's got a...
I love...
This is where... Look at the Red Sox right now, dude.
Look at
Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts. All these guys, dude.
Mookie Betts.
But yeah, I agree, dude. But guess what? This guy almost won the MVP.
Fuck Mookie Betts.
And what you have to say is, okay, Gary Sanchez, you had your year now. You need to continue. I'm asking you as a Yankee fan, please, please, be our next guy. Be our next Mookie. Be our next man. Because... we need that more than ever.
Not really, because here's what's going on. Brian Cashman's a goddamn genius.
Yes.
And there's been a 3-year plan in place to get rid of the old guys, build our farm system. We have the number one farm system in the MLB, and fucking room in contracts. Bryce Harper, 2018,
probably
is going to be our third baseman.
Probably going to happen. Third. He's played third baseman. He's not going to play third base.
He's going to be third or first. One of the two.
Third or first? No way, dude.
They're not going to let him play the field. That's what they do now. Everybody that's really, really good at hitting is going to play first base before they retire.
No. I disagree.
But he'll probably stay
out. He is a generational player, dude. He's a generational player. Bryce Harper is a freak, dude.
Either way.
Now, I'd rather have Mike Trout, personally.
Sure.
There's no way he's going to get right out of
LA. But that's not what
Cashman's
been doing. Cashman's been working this whole time to get
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is going to be...
a Long Island kid. A New York kid.
Bryce Harper is going to be a New York Yankee along with Gary Sanchez.
He belongs in New York, dude. Bryce Harper in pinstripes,
it's kind of just like A-Rod. A-Rod was working towards
But the thing is, like, A-Rod's... Bryce Harper has more grit than A-Rod. In my opinion.
Well, it's so early to tell. I mean,
but just Bryce Harper is a hothead. A-Rod was never really like...
No, A-Rod was A-Rod was just simply the best player on every team he ever played on.
Sure, but A-Rod was also on steroids.
Yeah, but so was everybody.
Bryce Harper's not.
No, I know, but from that era, like, everybody from A-Rod's era, you have to, like...
Yeah, but it's almost redundant to say, because, like, we all know that.
Also, steroids, if you look into baseball, steroids aren't the fucking problem. Any asshole can get strong enough to hit a ball out of a park. What really was going on was amphetamine abuse, shit like Adderall, which is also a banned substance, but when they take that, they're more focused, they can see the ball more clearly.
Right.
That's the banned substance they should worry about. Steroids, any dick can get strong enough to hit the ball out of the park. I mean, that's not the fucking problem. What it is you're playing a marathon season of like 160 something games. When you start taking the amphetamines, the uppers, that's what's really giving you the advantage.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So steroids, I don't really even fucking care. I mean, any douche can get strong enough to like fucking get huge muscles and hit a ball far. I mean, that's not the hard part.
Yeah. But, I mean, look at that era with Bonds and Sosa and...
They hit a shit ton of home runs.
McGuire.
But I guarantee you...
I mean, all those guys, dude.
But that was also the tail end of the cocaine era. Everybody, every baseball player in the 80s and every NHL player now is coked out as fuck.
I'm sorry, did you say every NHL?
NHL players love cocaine.
Where the fuck do you hear that?
You've never heard this?
No.
Cocaine is out of your system so quickly that professional athletes can still sort of take it and not have to worry about random drug tests.
Well, for sure. I mean, that doesn't matter. That's also is any profession you're in.
And hockey players are fucking crazy. You ever wondered why
it takes... Yeah, you're fucking right we are.
It takes...
You're fucking right we are.
If you break your ribs in hockey, that's 2 weeks versus 6 weeks in any other sport. Like...
It's an understatement, dude.
Hockey players are fucking nuts.
Guys get a slap shot with a puck to the face in the playoffs.
They lose
end of
all
the
their
first
teeth
period,
and they're like, put me back
they
in.
They come back and they come back in.
What do you think that is? That's straight
no
up nose
fucking,
confidence.
No way, dude. That's grit, dude. That's the
it's
sport.
Both.
Nah,
it's both.
But not in mid-game. You're not mid-game. You mean to tell me if a guy takes a puck to the face in the first period and he comes back at the beginning of the third and he's like, oh, I'm ready to go. He just did a huge line of coke.
I wouldn't disbelieve that.
I wouldn't either, but I don't think it's true.
I've heard that from multiple people that like a
no
lot
professionals.
Of that a lot of hockey, not professional hockey players themselves. If you want to go from the only sports rumor I've ever heard from a professional person is I heard from one professional football player that Jeremy Shockey is definitely gay.
I would totally believe that. I would totally
that's
believe
the
that.
Only,
that's fucking hilarious. That's, I cannot believe you'd actually just brought that up. Jeremy Shockey is actually gay.
He can sue me if he wants, but I heard that's the only rumor I've ever heard from someone that like, knows
it.
That person.
I'll get over it.
I know someone that knows Jeremy Shockey.
Anyway, I'm gonna die. Keep going into this really quickly because I'm a diehard Jets fan, and
you are,
and it's really upsetting. I'm just gonna say right now, like I think Todd Bowles was the perfect replacement we needed for Rex Ryan, and the Jets have some talent on their roster, but they don't have a quarterback, and the NFL comes down. Actually, I take it back. They do not have that much talent on their roster. They do not have that much talent on their roster at all. And the fact is that if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be an elite contender. And I can't wait for the Super Bowl. It absolutely blows my mind that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are back again. It's that. And I've recognized, as much as I dislike Boston and the Patriots and any other, you know, team affiliated with them, I can't deny the greatness. I can't do it. It blows my mind. I'm like, you just won't go away. You're 30, 38, 39 years old, which isn't even old, but in the NFL, you know, if you're 30, you know, this age, you know, you're not going to be good. Tom Brady looks like he's fucking 20 years old. And they just keep doing well. Now, I would love to see Matt Ryan make some history.
Matt Ryan is in...
Julio Jones, let's go, baby. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman.
So good right now.
Alex Mack.
To beat those
Deion
Packers.
Jones.
Those Packers were fucking great. And they were hot as fuck, too. So
but they
beat
were,
them that
they also had an injured team. I'm not surprised that Green Bay lost, I'll tell you that.
They were so fun to watch. I was in Las Vegas for the Packers.
Oh, I'm so happy they beat Dallas. I'm so happy to beat Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting tired of that whole charade. And Dak Prescott, Dak Elliott, and their big offensive line. Go away.
It's so fun to go up to Cowboys fans and be like, hey, it's so cool you have another quarterback that's going to be good but can't win a playoff game.
Yep.
And they're like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. Dak Prescott, we'll see what happens, because
everybody's
he had an incredible year, and I have nothing but respect for what they did.
Yeah,
but I'm just happy. But also, fuck them is right, because I wanted to see Rodgers continue his legacy. I wanted to see Rodgers win.
Rodgers getting another Super Bowl ring would have been completely fine with me this year. And then who even?
What?
It's Patriots Falcons, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's down to right now.
Yes.
The Falcons better win.
I hope so.
I really don't want the Patriots.
Think about this: the last three Super Bowls, they beat Seattle in the last one, right? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, last year Denver won. The year before that, who won? Either Seattle or New England, because they went back.
Seattle lost, because remember they were on the one-yard line and kept fucking passing.
They didn't hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. Beast mode, who should have gotten it.
Every decision that, like, why the fuck did you not give him the ball? Why did you throw three times? I mean, there's been a billion conversations about why the Seahawks fucked up.
But it's amazing that on the one-yard line they didn't hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. Just like when Pittsburgh played the New York Jets back when Mark Sanchez was the quarterback, and they handed it off three times to LaDainian Tomlinson on the goal line when they had all the fucking receivers they could have thrown it to and tight ends.
Remember when Mark Sanchez ran into the guy's butt?
Remember when Mark Sanchez, the butt fumble? Remember the butt fumble? Remember the idiot? Remember the green and white? I remember.
The butt fumble was hilarious.
It's still, like, nationally televised.
It's the funniest.
It's still, like, used as, like, parody when they show commercials with the NFL, and it's like, wow. It was that embarrassing.
So good.
You were that good.
I noticed you didn't pick a basketball team. Do you have no allegiance to the NBA?
I'm more of a fan of I'm a Knicks fan because I'm from New York, but
boo. I love the Nets so much, and they're so bad that I constantly feel the need to, like.
I mean, I loved when Vince Carter and Kenny Martin were and Jason Kidd.
Vince Carter, Kenny Martin, I loved
that Net era because I liked
good Richard basketball. Jefferson.
Yeah, sure.
So good.
Who's crushing out of the Cavs right now? He's a beast.
Yeah, but he was way... Dude, New Jersey, they got my hopes up every year because there was a period when I was a little kid where the Nets went to the finals like a couple times in a row and just got wrecked by the Lakers in San Antonio just over and over and over.
Yep.
It was so bad.
But think about those teams, though. Think about that San Antonio team. Think about that LA team.
That was like Tony Parker and fucking what's-his-face.
Yeah. Tim Duncan?
Yeah, Tim Duncan at their height.
Young Kawhi?
And then you had Kobe and Shaq, who, like, what the fuck was Jason Kidd
going to do? Bynum Gasol? It's absurd, dude.
The fuck was Jason Kidd going to do against Kobe and Shaq? I mean,
they won a couple games here and there, but, like, it wasn't the same level of...
No, and now the Nets are the worst team ever, and
The Knicks are extremely
You know why it's really hard?
I love good basketball. Last year, during the finals of Golden State and Cleveland, I was going. I don't like Golden State. I'm upset that Kevin Durant went to Golden State. This whole topic has been about sports. Basically, I'm as a career, I would love to be a working actor. I would love to be a paid storyteller. You know, to create, to imagine, and make things happen, whether it's on stage or camera, but. I love sports, and I'm very passionate, and I'm very proud of the fact that I know a lot of statistics about the different generations, different eras of sports of all different kinds, and, you know, basketball, hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, all of which I know a lot of stats about that I love debating, I love getting into this, and that if I was not I don't even know what it means to be, you know, I'm an actor. Everything is an act every day. But if I was, a sports analyst, or if I was someone who, a radio announcer, someone who was debating and giving, someone who people could tune into, no pun intended, something people could tune into and listen and be excited. No, on the way home from work, on the way to work, be entertained. That's what I'm good at. I'm good at providing people with entertainment. Like, what can I, like, that's what I like doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, there's a billion things in the world that I am benefited off of that people are good at that do for me. This, I love doing this. I love talking about these kinds of things because I get passionate and I know a lot of things about it. And I love being, you know, dicking around about it. So if it wasn't, you know, being an actor, it would be a sports analyst. It would be talking about this kind of stuff. And I have, you know, like I said, who knows where I'm going to be in 10 years. It could totally be this. Totally be this. Mm. And I got stats to back it up. I, you know, I care about this. I care about these kinds of things. And
it shows.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it really does. You mentioned you played hockey.
Oh, yeah. Smallest kid on the ice every time I played.
Was hockey your sport? Did you was
and soccer.
Hockey and soccer?
Yeah.
What were your positions?
Soccer. I played multiple positions, so I played
Yeah, that's kind of how high school is, right? Like, you just sort of are playing the sport more than one position.
No, honestly, I mean, maybe for some.
That's how football sort of was. I mean, I would call myself a center, but I was an offensive lineman. I mean, like, that's just sort of how you...
No, I understand, but... And I don't even say this in a bragging way. I don't say it in a, and then, like, oh, I'm so good way.
They called my position MVP in both sports.
Yeah, I'm an MVP in both sports. No, in soccer, I played both defense to where I was either a sweeper, you know, one of the defensemen. Sweeper is the last line of defense before your goalie. And then you would have your defensemen, right, center, and left. And then occasionally, you know, depending on high school and travel, whatever, you'd have a stopper. Not always. It's not a known position. But then you would have midfield, left, two centers, or a center, or a right. And then you would have two forwards. And depending on what team we were playing, our schematic, you know, game plan, I played any position that I was required at because I had the versatility to play in. Now, majority of the time, I was an unsung hero. I played a lot. I did a lot of plays to where I kept the team up, you know? I kept the team up, and I wasn't always the biggest star scoring the biggest goals, the biggest moments, but I made the plays where it counted. I made the plays that set up to what to happen. And that's not to say I had my say of shiny moments, because I sure as hell did. And I'm proud of those, too. But soccer, without a doubt, you know, I'm going to have to put you back here. You're going to go front. You know, I have tons of game-winning goals, game-winning stops, and same thing with a lot of the friends that I played with. You know, we all had that mentality. We all cared about that. We all held each other to a certain standard.
Yeah, team sports, that's a big bond between people.
Hockey, the majority of my life, I played roller hockey. But when I came to high school at St. Anthony's, I tried out. I auditioned for the ice hockey team, the freshman team. And I was easily one of the worst players when I started. Easily, because I didn't even know how to stop. And I showed up to my freshman ice hockey tryouts, and I didn't know how to stop on ice. I didn't even know how to stop. There are kids that are playing travel hockey. I mean, I'm talking kids that were dirty. And there's hitting now. You can, you know, I got my clocks clean playing. They call it a bender. I didn't even know how to stop. And I was pretty bad. But I got, from where I started to where I finished, I got good. I got a lot better because I understood how to play. I just didn't know how to ice skate that well. And by the time from where I started to where I finished was a drastic change. And I'm a big Rangers fan, like I said. When I grew up, I had family that was living in Michigan. And the Detroit Red Wings with Steve Yzerman, Brendan Shanahan, Darren McCarty, Nicholas Lindstrom, I mean, Sergei Fedorov, all these... You know, early, you know, the championship years in the late 90s, the Red Wings, and even, you know, a little bit later on with Datsyuk and Zetterberg and all these guys. I was a big fan of Detroit, the big Red Wings. So Detroit and the Rangers were my two hockey teams always. But the Yankees, New York Yankees, Derek Jeter, you know.
He's the greatest person of all time.
Yeah, greatest athlete of my generation. He was my biggest hero of my generation.
Athlete, fuck that. Name me a person that's better than Derek Jeter. You can't.
You know what I heard? I heard that at his mansion, when you go to his house, all cell phone, all technology has to be put into a bin.
I've heard this too.
And that when you walk into his house, into his mansion,
yeah,
there is a portrait, there is a painting of Derek Jeter and Jay-Z arm around each other, looking at each other, smoking a blunt.
It's a big old blunt. Smoking, I've heard this too.
Smoking a fat blunt.
I've heard this also, and I want it to be true so badly.
And I would give anything in my lifetime to see that picture.
I want it to be true so badly. The one that definitely is true is the one about him giving customized gift baskets to girls he has one-night stands
with. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's real. That happens.
Oh, yeah. Like a boss.
He's the greatest
person. Like a boss.
There, you could name me anybody. I don't fucking care who it is. People would yell out all kinds of shit. Gandhi. It's like, not even close.
Gandhi was a fucking asshole.
Guess how many World Series Gandhi has? Yeah, fucking none. Zero. Fucking big fat zero. That's how many World Series Gandhi has. You know how many hits Martin Luther King Jr. had? Fucking none.
One?
None.
He got assassinated, dude. He got one hit at least.
Yeah,
well, oh, that's fucked up.
None. My favorite one is sometimes people will be like, Jesus, and I'll be like, Jeter's real. Oh, shit. Yeah, absolutely. But we're...
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so actually, we're going to take one more quick break real quick, and then we're going to come back with Dan's number one. Okay, and we're back from break. We were just talking a bunch about how... I'm good. We were both just talking a bunch about an old sketch we did together. Me and Dan Owen's biggest achievement together was a YouTube video that we made together. It was a parody of those the blue e-cig commercials that Stephen Dorff used to do.
Oh, man.
And we used to make videos for YouTube together in college, and one of them, I was watching that commercial one night, and it just struck me that it doesn't seem like he's happy that he can smoke. It's happy that he can do what he wants wherever he wants. He just struck me as his biggest dick.
Well, it's not real smoke, Anthony.
It's vape, right?
It's not real smoke. So if you have a problem with it, you can go fuck yourself.
So I wrote this video.
It seems like you have a problem with it. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I hate it so
much. Well, it's vape. It's vapor.
I wrote this video.
You can smoke it anywhere.
Where the premise was, it was that same spokesman, but he was just being a dick.
Real. But believes it.
Oh, yeah, he believes
it. That's what is what's funny. That's what's really funny.
But there was this scene that I wrote in it. It was the thing that I was like, we have to have this in this sketch. It was this shot of him, of Dan Owen right here, who was my actor, standing on a street corner, hitting an e-cigarette while also flipping off traffic, just giving the finger to every car that went by. It was the one shot I needed in this video. So Dan, being a great actor, instantly was like, okay, let's shoot it. We go to shoot it. I have the camera about 50 feet away from him, zoomed in, so nobody around can see that there's a camera. And I'll let you tell what happened from your perspective,
because sure.
I'm viewing this through the lens, and this is one of my favorite memories ever.
Right. So this whole skit, like you said, is that Stephen Dorff, it's not about being able to smoke where you want. It's about doing what you want.
Yeah, he's allowed. He's like, there's shots of
him, I'm doing like, what I want when I want to.
Well,
and it's
some
not
of the
bad.
Other ones, you're like. Laughing in a church, you're like knocking shit over at a grocery store, you're like doing all kinds of like random shit, and then there's this shot of you on the street corner.
Everyone, you should go watch it. Type in e-cig parody. Go check out the Humorous channel. It's one of the big videos there. Go watch it. It is a funny video. It doesn't anyone who does it. It's a funny concept, and basically, if you watch the original video of the blue e-cig, this guy saying, Stephen Dorff goes, with blue, you can smoke at a basketball game. Doesn't matter if you're inside or not. You can smoke it inside. It's vapor. It's not smoke. It's not going to go off. It's not real smoke. Do what you want to do. Live the life you want. I'm Stephen Dorff. I smoke blue e-cigs. Fuck you. It's not real smoke. You're like, wow, maybe I should go buy one. Well, you might still get cancer, but The point is that this parody about not... It's not a matter of smoking inside or not. It's about, I'm doing what I want. There's nothing you can do about it. And one of the highlights of this clip was we were right outside Marist College on Route 9, right in front of the college. And it's Route 9 is extremely busy, probably at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't really warm, but it was a nice day out. And they say, okay, Dan, this script, what's written in it is that your character is going to go across the street and you're going to flip people off while you're smoking the e-cig. Because it's not real smoke. You can smoke it whatever you want. So I walk. I said, okay. I said, let's do it. So I walk across the street, and Anthony says, before I went, he said, when the light turns green, we're rolling camera. So I said, okay. So I go across the crosswalk, and I'm standing there, and it just turned to a red light. Bunch of cars pull up, and the first car that pulls up is an old couple, probably in their 70s. The man was driving, the wife was in the front seat, and she looks out the window, and she looks, and she's a nice college kid. I'm wearing a sport jacket, you know, I got the hair back, etc., and we make eye contact. She smiles, she waves, I smile, I wave, and as I turn, I say, this lady has no idea what's coming her way. She has no idea. And in my head, part of it, I'm saying, oh my gosh, this is just wrong. She's going to go home tonight. She's going to say, you're not going to... Irvin, you're not going to believe what happened today. This nice college boy, a good-looking smugger, and he flipped me off. And me, I got a job to do, the way I see it. This is all part of a project. So the light turns red. We wave. We smile. And I'm saying, oh, boy. That light turns green. I make a 90-degree turn, and with full flare... middle fingers flaring, the hands go up, the face is like, fuck you, and I'm flipping off everyone I see with this e-cig, and this lady turns, and she's looking at me again, and she went from smiling and all happy-go-lucky to just, oh my gosh, as her husband starts hitting the gas pedal, and I'm just middle fingers up like, you motherfucker, and she has no idea, she doesn't even know what happened to her, she just got laid for all she knows. And
that moment
of me believing, because I didn't do it half-hearted. My intention, which is so big with an actor, intention. When an actor has intention in what his actions are, if they're more than likely you're going to believe what's happening. But if you don't believe what you're doing, how can you expect anyone else who's watching you to do the same?
For sure.
Right?
My favorite part of it, though, is that that ended up being about a second and a half maximum
of that video. And that old woman fucking flips off. And I quote, guess what I do? Whatever I want. Yeah. Fuck you.
That video was very interesting. And what was funniest about that to me, not only that it became a second and a half of that video, that you just ruined that lady's day for a second and a half of footage, which I love you for doing. Me and my director of photography there, Jackie, bailed right away. We fucking left you on that corner.
Did you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't know that. And then you guys bailed on me. The reason you cut that camera is because out of your own embarrassment.
Because Marist Security pulled up next to us and asked us what we were doing. And we were like,
did they really? I don't even remember that.
And we were like, nothing, and just left.
So, yeah.
But that's not the worst one. There was, do you remember, it was after you had graduated, but we made a video that was a parody of the, World's Most Interesting Man, the Dos Equis one.
No, that was same semester.
No, because it was Colin's senior year. It was our friend Colin.
No way, dude.
No, 100%.
Dude, Most Interesting Man in the World, I'm 100% positive, was the same, that was in the same...
You weren't there because you and Jackie were shooting your capping project. That's why.
Yes.
Either way.
Yes, we were shooting A Boy Named Sue.
Right. So there was a video where
our mutual
friend Colin wanted to do this parody of these videos where he would be the drunkest man in the world. And one of the things that we shot was him throwing up in front of a bunch of different people. But we shot it like it was like prank show style. Like he would put a shit ton of cold clam chowder in his mouth. It was nasty as hell. And he would just, like, wander off.
That's what that was?
Yeah, he would... It was
you do realize that from a camera perspective, you can get away with putting so many other things to use as props. And he used clam juice and clam bits.
We let him do whatever he wanted. He was using, like, cold soups the whole time. Like, cold, creamy soups.
Chicorina. Campbell's.
We let him use whatever he wanted. So he would just wander up behind groups of people and just be like... Bleh! And they're like...
Well, the playground.
That... But there was one time where we went down by the Hudson River, like, where we went to school, there was, like, a...
Tell me campus security rolled up on you guys there.
No. Dude, I was probably, like, 50 feet away, zoomed in on him, and there was a group of, like, four girls. Marist is preppy.
Yep.
There are a lot of those, like, if you imagine, like, preppy white kids, that's most of what Marist College is. So this guy, Colin, wanders up behind four of them taking pictures right by the river and just unloads a mouthful of this fucking...
That was, you know, right when you go under the bridge, right under that spot where it breaks off? Yeah. He was right on that right side, right?
Yep. And he just goes like, blah, right next to him. They flip. They're fucking scattering. And he's like, no, it's okay. We're shooting for something. And he points, but... Me and Danielle were behind a wall, and we just duck.
No, Danielle wasn't in the troop at that point.
Why do I remember her being there? It was me, Danielle, Dennis.
No, dude, Danielle. This was my senior year. She was not in it. This was during my year. Most interesting man.
Oh, dude, you're right. So who the fuck was there? So it must have been
you and Caitlin.
Me and Brendan. Maybe.
And Caitlin.
Either way, people that did not want to get seen by these people, so we, like, duck behind the wall that we're shooting at, and Colin's pointing at nobody, going, like, there's a camera, crazy, there's a camera.
Yeah, man, we had some good videos, but I would suggest go on our Humorist channel, and go check out a lot of sketch videos we made. They're really funny, a lot of good energy, and, you know, it's funny, is that I still get a lot of updates through Facebook about the Humorist stuff changes, even... We used to get messages about, you know, oh, we want to use your videos for this on YouTube. We want to... Dude, why don't we advertise ourselves? I'm saying this on live.
You guys don't know this. This is, like, breaking news, but the year after you guys left, we made a little bit of money from the YouTube channel.
Good.
We sold ad rights to one of the videos, and we made a kind of, like, a substantial amount of money.
Was it our video?
No, it wasn't.
I wouldn't be surprised.
E-Cig was the thing that pushed it over, but it was that one that has, like, randomly, like, 80 million views on it.
Oh, the Chinese,
Yeah, the one that got featured on, like, Singapore Tosh.0. But, yeah, we sold...
Dude, I mean, I've
somebody in the group at the time that wasn't me figured out a way to make money off of it, and we did, and it was, like, a fucking... A lot of money.
Dude. Well, how about we stop playing pretend and keep, you know, that bullshit? Because, like, I get updates about this now, about the Humorist doing this or doing that. Like, why don't we advertise our videos as something that can actually be used for something that's good?
We should be still making them. We have talked about a lot of stuff, and we need to get to number one thing. I could talk to you all night, but...
Well, we're on point of what we've been talking about.
Yeah, no. This is two of three episodes the Humorists have come up now, which is unavoidable, but it's...
Well... Anyway, if you want to get the topic,
let's get into the last thing.
Last thing. So, all the last four things from the friends, family, and music and sports, without a doubt, have tied into the person that I am. And to get specific about this acting game, I'd like to talk about my biggest influence, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey is your biggest acting influence?
Yeah, most likely. I'd say so.
Okay, I remember a Halloween where this man dressed up.
You should go check out the pictures of that.
As Ace Ventura and did not drop character through the entire night. I definitely remember this.
Oh my gosh, dude, that was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Jim Carrey
is... Legend.
Oh, no doubt at all. This is just surprising to me that Jim Carrey's your biggest acting influence.
Yeah,
What is your be-all and all? What is the Jim Carrey movie that did it?
When Nature Calls.
Ace Ventura 2. That is crazy that you say that to me. I watched that
movie. That or The Mask.
I love The Mask too, but when Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls, when we first got TiVo, I recorded it off TV and then maybe watched it a million times. The scene where he comes out of the rhino's butt is to this day one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I mean, that's one of the, all the scenes in the movie that are... I mean, it's an absolute study of art from... I mean, everything he does, from the physical, emotional, you know, psychological, every possible aspect that he approaches his work from, he is just... He's incredible, and he is so himself. He's so funny. He's so engaging and interesting to watch, and from the person that I make the most impressions off of, and that's it. I'm the most easily the actor that I in make my impressions most consistent about is Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
I mean, liar. So me, myself, and Irene. Bruce Almighty, you know.
Bruce Almighty was the first movie that I wasn't...
Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind is one of my favorite movies I've ever
Unbelievable.
Seen.
Unbelievable.
The number 20... What is it? Number 27?
I'm not...
23? What is it?
On IMDb. I'm not even sure. Eternal Sunshine, we should get into... Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is one of the best movies about relationships ever made. It's
unbelievable.
It's at, and when you find out that he's just been reliving the same relationship... Like, they keep it's finding amazing. Each other and keep... It's fucking mind-blowing.
It's amazing.
He's... I agree with you.
You should go watch his commencement speech that he made at the University of Iowa, I believe it is. He's made a couple inspirational speeches at a couple different schools, but I believe it's the University of Iowa. He has a really amazing speech about following your dreams and, you know, pursuing something that you love and not giving in to... What everyone around you says, and staying true to yourself, and he really, really is something else. And I've become so inspired of how free and how open he is. And I've studied him from his early days of a stand-up comic to where he, you know, when he first came up, he wasn't getting roles. He wasn't getting the recognition that he deserved. But the guy pushed. He pushed. And there were people who, you know, supported him and thought, this guy is a generational talent. This guy is going to be amazing. And clearly, as how far we've come, I mean, Dumb and Dumber is one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's so fun.
And I love Jeff Daniels. I absolutely love Jeff Daniels, too. But that movie is... I mean, I can't tell you how much of my comedy, my sense of humor comes from a movie like that.
The most quintessential...
It's staggering how much I get from that.
The most Jim Carrey moment maybe of all time, I believe, is in Dumb and Dumber when he is in the car and he looks at that other guy. He's like, hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yeah. But the best part is that what you don't hear often, most people don't talk about... is that he goes, hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And then the one guy goes, guys! The guy who freaks out. But as he's ending it, you hear Jeff Daniels going, oh! You hear him in the background end it. And it's overheard through Jim Carrey just doing his, But Jeff Daniels goes, oh! And it's so fucking funny. And... fellas, can we just turn on the radio or something? Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Ready, Lloyd? Mock! Yeah! Ing! Yeah! Bird! Yeah! Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard it's gonna buy you a mockingbird? A mockingbird, and if that mockingbird doesn't, if it doesn't, he's gonna buy diamond. Hey, got some chairs over here. Pick 'em up. Mock, sing, unreal.
Bravo,
unreal. Bird sing. So funny.
Jim Carrey is such a good pick.
He's so good.
Because he's done everything. He, like, The Truman Show
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
The Truman Show is one of these crazy things where, like, it feel he's so good in the Truman Show. You buy the whole time that he doesn't know what's going on, and then you buy him realizing what's happening to him.
Yep.
Have you ever seen Man on the Moon?
Yep.
Incredible. I mean, Andy Kaufman in himself is such an interesting person. Like, for one comedian to encapsulate another comedian in, like, in the way that it doesn't feel
that
stupid.
That study, that was, as an actor, was so unbelievably engaging. Because Andy Kaufman is such a unique human.
Andy Kaufman is still influencing comedy today. Like, there's no Eric Andre without Andy Kaufman.
No.
There's no Jackass without Andy Kaufman.
No.
There's no,
and like, the fact that Jim Carrey was able to nail it to the level that he did is incredible. It's incredible.
It's a good movie that has kind of no right to be a good movie. Like,
right. That's not talking about. I barely do I hear anyone say, "Have you seen Man on the Moon?" So
yeah, no, Man on the Moon's a crazy good movie. Even, but like, Jim Carrey is kind of fallen from like mainstream grace, I guess, in the last few years, like with all the Mr. Popper's Penguins kind of stuff.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
But as recently as, have you ever seen I Love You, Philip Morris?
No.
Really good. It's on Netflix. It's a real life story of a con man who realizes he's gay in his like late 30s. And he ends up going to jail and falling in love with this guy played by Ewan McGregor. And it's about a con man who's trying to escape from jail but is also in love with this other inmate. Huh. Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor are fucking incredible in it. And
what's it called?
I Love You, Philip Morris. It's really funny. It gets dark at times. It's really... like, Jim Carrey is a fucking great actor.
Right.
Who I think got caught up in some BS political nonsense. Like, he's an anti-vaxxer.
Is he?
Yeah, well, because he was married to Jenny McCarthy.
She's a nut job.
You should vaccinate your kids is a strength that I'm going to take every single time.
Yeah. So Jim Carrey's an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah, he's an anti-vaxxer. He's one of those crazy people.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I don't know if you just saw...
Or maybe he just wanted to keep fucking Jenny McCarthy. I mean,
maybe. But that didn't end well either.
Nope. Because now she's with Donnie Wahlberg.
Dude. Dude, like, this past New Year's on the when the ball was dropping.
Yeah. Oh, Jenny.
Jenny McCarthy was, like, hosting it. And she was like... She's there. And she's like, "Oh, I'm here in Times Square. And I'm... Hey, you know, these people are all so great. But it would all be so much better if we were all really drunk. But, I mean, I am. Aren't you guys, too?" And everyone's like, it just got quiet. And everyone's like, like, whoa. And she's like, I got midgets.
She's like
just wake, absolute alcoholic. Just like, it like sound like a total idiot. I was like, oh my God. Her and Mariah Carey were the two biggest jokes of this past New Year's, which I don't even know why I'm watching or caring about any of it.
Yeah, you're very invested in the pop New Year's.
I can't, how do you get away from it, you know? The family's got it on TV. It's on this room and that room. It's like, what a nightmare. But Mariah Carey lip-syncing the whole fucking... fuck him.
Right.
Fuck him. But Jenny McCarthy, yeah, no thanks. Jim Carrey, yeah.
Jim Carrey's great. Jim Carrey also has the weird distinction of being the only memorable white cast member of In Living Color.
Yeah.
You ever watch that show?
Yes.
It's so funny that show was so the Wayans brothers, and then they were just like, this Canadian guy. Like, he couldn't have been less like the rest of that cast, but for some reason it worked so well.
Right.
Because he's undeniable. Well, also, have you ever heard the story of how he didn't do characters, and then Rodney Dangerfield started letting him open for him? And he was like...
Imagine that. Imagine opening for Rodney Dangerfield.
Impossible task. You're never going to be as good. Right? Like,
Jim Carrey opening for that is the greatest 1-2 punch. It's like...
But Jim Carrey was refining his voice at the time because he's like, I want to do more characters. And Dangerfield was like, well, you can bomb in front of me as much as you fucking want. I'll win them back. I don't care. Right. Do whatever the fuck you want in front of all these people. So that's how he learned how to be Jim Carrey, is in front of these gigantic Rodney Dangerfield audiences where he would bomb a lot.
Really?
But he figured it out. how to be funny in front of these people, that because Rodney didn't fucking care. Everyone could be so mad, and he would walk
and
out.
And he goes, "Hey, you gotta go. Come here. I'm gonna get you out of my stuff."
He doesn't fucking care. He's the king. He can walk out there and fucking win over everybody away.
I've watched many of his videos, and he's the king.
I don't even like this shit that much, but you look out there and you recognize nobody fucking owned the stage like this.
It was
guy.
His energy. It was what he brought to the table, right?
It was him and Frank Sinatra. Like, you can watch them own stages. Like, everybody's looking at them. You don't fucking care who the hell else is up there.
Yep.
They're the one commanding attention. It's ridiculous. Yep. So, like, Carrey learned like that. Jim Carrey is... Have you ever seen the Batman movie where he was the Riddler?
Of course. Everything blows off. He was awesome, dude. He was so good.
I heard Tommy Lee Jones hated him on that set.
Really?
Yeah, apparently, like, Tommy Lee Jones went up to him and was just like, "You're a silly bastard and I don't like you."
That sounds exactly what Tommy Lee... "You're a silly bastard and I don't like you."
Like, apparently Tommy Lee Jones is no fun at all.
And Jim Carrey's probably just like, "Alrighty then."
Exactly.
"I'll take it as a compliment."
He was just like, "Fucking whatever."
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jim Carrey is consistently... he's one of those people who's also been able to remain an A-list house name celebrity. Like, can you name something in the last 5 years Jim Carrey's been really good in?
A Hollywood film, I guess. Is that what you're saying? Like, some
or even anything, really. I mean, like, Kick-Ass 2 is the closest thing that's
right, Kick-Ass, well, that's one, but, again, he's... I mean, I'm saying as in someone who's an activist, as a human, he's going around and giving inspiration.
Oh, for sure, but I'm saying it's...
I mean, I didn't even see the new Dumb and Dumber. I didn't want to see it.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even see it. I didn't even want to waste my time on it.
The Farley brothers have fallen off in a big way. They understood what was funny in the 90s, and they don't seem to understand what's funny now.
Right.
But what I was...
I would say no, I haven't.
My point about Jim Carrey was it's impressive to me. Like, his body work is so strong that he's still, like, a household name, despite not having any major projects.
But he didn't have to do any more work. You know what? Like, I'm totally fine with him just being who he was and who he is and, like, just... being a presence around, you know?
Like Rick Moranis doesn't act anymore because he takes care of his kids up in Canada.
Right.
But Rick Moranis' career is undeniably good.
Sure. Sure. I mean, but, like, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, no, maybe that's sort of the route. I'm not saying Jim Carrey should stop doing movies. I'm just saying that he could take that route if he so chose.
For sure. For sure, but I mean, he's a legend, and he's been such a big influence on me that, you know,
we know each other from doing comedy together, but that wasn't your start in performing. Was he more the push towards comedy, or was it the whole time when you got into acting?
The whole time. The first, I didn't do any performance work in high school, or like I said, anytime before that. I got to college and I didn't know what I wanted to major in. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my career. And I knew that I loved making people laugh. I loved storytelling above all things. I loved telling stories. I loved being... it's not out of a center of attention, but I loved being the guy that everyone was looking to explain, to be, you know, telling something that people were so engaged, so happy to listen to, so focused on. And I auditioned for a play on a whim my sophomore year at college. And I landed it was 12 Angry Men. And I landed the role of juror number 4 that E.G. Marshall plays in the movie. And it was so overwhelming. Too many lines. So many lines. But at the time, that's what I thought about. That's what I thought was difficult. I thought, well, I just have to memorize. I just have to get it right. But it's not about that. It's not about getting it right, you know.
Yeah, there's no such thing as right.
There's making smart choices and decisions on the structure and how it all works, you know, with acting. But it's more than that. It's you finding yourself in in that part, and I would love to go back and play that role again, because I, as much as I think I did for my first time ever doing any work, you know, really discovered something new about myself, which Jim, I mean, like I said, all that work led up, all of it led up to that point. Everything in my life led up to that point. Not getting into the humorous. Jackie beat me. Jackie got in. And guess what? 4 years later, when I was a senior, I auditioned again. Jackie was the leader of the humorous, and it ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah, I'm
and glad. And I was one of the leaders of that group coming in my first year.
I'm glad you did it, too. It's we wouldn't know each other without it.
Yeah.
That you have been a fucking awesome guest on this show.
Please. I'm not a sellout yet.
No, it is always good to sit down with you. We don't get to hang out enough.
It's true, man. It's unfortunate. I wish I had too many of my good friends that I say that about. But it's been an absolute pleasure, Anthony, and I'm so happy I got
thank
to.
Thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything you want to, like, promote or plug?
Yeah, I guess so. So I talked that quickly, you know, how big music was. So two great bands I think you guys should listen to were The Other Brothers and Formula 5. Two bands that I'm friends with people who are involved with them, and they're incredible, great energy, and they have a lot of talent, so it would be worth your while to listen to. Trust yourself. Remember your roots. Don't take anything for granted. You know, we're in it for the long run. This is, you know, tortoise in the hair. Tortoise is going to win out in the end. Seriously, tortoise in the hair. You're in for the long run.
Oh, with that advice.
It's tortoise in the hair, but I'll tell
you. That's what we're going to leave you on.
Yeah. Start jogging.
This is the
don't worry about that asshole who's running ahead of you.
My guest is Daniel Owen. I'm Anthony Passeretti. Thank you for listening if you've made it
this far. Ladies and gents, take care. Have an awesome night.
Good night.
Good night.